Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Here they are. Oh, I hate them. Listen, they love classical music. Who doesn't, Mike? Everybody does.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America.
Okay.
877-365-3636.
Playing
ready to believe you.
Hey, I wanted to play that a second time for a reason.
Oh?
I want to make sure everybody knows the rules about calling this show. You can call anytime. If you are offbeat, exotic, if you have a tale to tell,
yes,
you can get on anytime.
Ah,
otherwise, just wait for the phone scan.
Right.
Okay. And now, having said that, oh, here you go.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy: himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Rob's beware.
You know, you mentioned they like classical music.
They do.
They love Wagner.
Wagner!
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Classical, and all the ships at sea, broadcasting live from the right side of the dirt. It's Don Geronimo and Mike, nice suit, O'Mara!
Yeah! Thank you, Robbie, and hi, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, and this is a new episode, 1-1304 Tuesday.
Tuesday!
Hi, Don and Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz.
That's tighter than a nun.
Sure is.
That's a good way to start a show. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Before we get to the important news of the day, how many of you last night got Jack Cassidy when he was on Bewitched? I just have
Jack
to throw that out.
Cassidy!
No. I have to throw that out.
Yes, hello, Samantha.
We went through a phase on this show, the Jack Cassidy phase.
Jack Cassidy!
When we found out that...
Hi there!
That he went both ways.
Uh-huh. Yes, sirree, yes, sirree. It's bisexual!
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy, always playing a successful wealthy man.
Columbo, you think you figured me out in my ascot, my smoking jacket?
You haven't, Columbo. I'm Jack Cassidy. You're looking at me.
Now, listen, Barnaby Jones. Even though I was here, inside the palace, I could not have committed the murder.
There's no way. I was up at my mansion. Let me come into the library.
Jack Cassidy! I'm bisexual.
Listen to me, McMillan.
And
tell your wife.
There you are. All righty. Fantastic job.
McLeod.
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 So last night, really...
Mannix?
Like that song goes, whatever it is, there's 100 channels. There's nothing on.
Hello, man. Cannon.
And I'm just up and down and going up and just scrolling up and down.
Banachek?
And I get to...
Stretching that one, Rob.
Like a TV land, and it's Bewitched.
Oh.
It's George Papa!
And it's Jack Cassidy. Jack Cassidy, of course, David Cassidy's father.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Cassidy, for a long time, on this show, we were fixated with him.
Yes.
With his devilish goatee and his smile and his way of speaking. And once we found out that, in fact, not only did he burn in a Hollywood fire, but he was bisexual.
Bisexual Jack Cassidy.
There was something about him.
And I really looked at that beard on Bewitched, that lengthy goatee. Or Van Dyke, as it's called.
Yes. So here's how my phone chain works. I see this. First, I call Rob. Now, I know I want to call Rob, and I want to call Mike.
Right.
I call Rob first, because I can just bark out the order to Rob. And then have some pleasantries with Mike and come back to Rob. So I call Rob. He picks up. Hello. I say, channel 301 right now. I'll call you back. Bye. Click. I call Mike's house. Phone rings 3-4 times. I think, I'm not going to get him. And all of a sudden I get, hello. And I said, hey, listen, turn on channel 301 right now. He said, I'm putting my girls to sleep.
I was in a dark room.
I said, oh, all right. Sorry, never mind. Then I picked the phone back up and I call Rob and I go, did you see it? And while Rob had, I know he only has two darling children,
right.
One of which I'm blessed to be the godfather of, but it sounded like he had 10 of them in the background screaming their heads at the same time.
He caught us on a quiet night, because not only when they're not screaming, we all have to scream for my grandfather to hear us. So even if we're just having conversation, everyone yells.
Well, the secret to Don's phone call to me is I was in between an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old who were sound asleep at that point. And so was I. That's why it rang four times.
Here I am. I'm a dope because this is what I do. I watch Bewitched and see Jack Cassidy, and I got to call these guys to tell them. And I realize Mike's with his kids. Rob's got his screaming in the background. Buzz, I didn't know if you'd be an aficionado.
I have no kids, and my cats were awake. So
but,
call.
But weren't on my Jack Cassidy list. I'm sorry.
Well, please include me, because I'm a huge fan of Jack Cassidy and your impression
but
of
you
him.
Will imagine my delight as I put the girls to school today. Yeah. Took them to school.
Yes,
set them on their merry way.
There's a second part to the story, much like the second part of the sexuality of Jack Cassidy.
That's accurate. And I turned on the TV mid-morning, don't you know, and TV Land was still on. And there it was, a rerun of the same episode that ran last night with Jack Cassidy.
What we need to do is develop some sort of Jack Cassidy phone tree.
Yes.
Where if
yes.
you call me, then well, I can call Buzz.
You know what I ended up doing just for snicks? I put his name on the TiVo list.
Jack Cassidy.
Oh, Jack Cassidy.
That's brilliant.
So now
you'll get some quality programming.
You know you will. So anyway, it continued. It started last night, but then Mike kept the fire going this morning when he called me about.
I said, "Is that the same episode, or do we have two episodes of Bewitched with Jack Cassidy?"
No, it's the same one.
And I watched the entire episode, which centered around Jack Cassidy and being confused with Samantha and Serena.
Yes. And then I remembered last night. When I hung up with you, one of the last things I said to you,
yes,
you said, I can't right now. I'm putting my daughters to sleep. I said, oh, well, maybe you could just turn it on because you're going to miss it because she's going to turn him into something.
Yeah, yeah, and so I did. I did get up and go out to the kitchen.
And she did.
Just at that moment, she turned him into a parrot.
Into a parrot.
Yes,
because he was repeating everything Samantha was saying.
Anyway, that's what we do. That's what we do. And Buzz, if you want to be on, you know.
I'd like to be part of the Jack Cassidy Club, please.
All right, you're in the loop.
Jack Cassidy with his double-rusted blue blazer, his powder blue tie, Jack Cassidy.
And really, yeah, nothing about that 1970s look that he had that doesn't just say Jack Cassidy. Sex with a man, sex with a woman, no matter to me. Fine with me. How about both at once while I smoke? And don't forget I have a cigarette holder.
Ah, I'm on fire, Scarecrow.
Yeah, don't forget the cigarette holder is what killed him.
Yes, that's right. Yes, falling asleep in a chair, setting it on fire.
My bungalow.
Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who is on the hotline? Hello? Hey, bud, you want to be on the radio?
No, I got to tell you something off here.
All right, hold, please.
I'm sorry.
All right, hold. Hold, please.
You never stop being a parent. Here you are talking about Rob and myself, right. When in fact, you're a parent as well. And parenting doesn't stop just because of 3 o'clock hour Eastern Standard Time.
No, it doesn't.
There we are, Scarecrow.
It's what?
There's probably not a call about Jack Cassidy.
I would assume not.
Yeah. He's parenting
It doesn't have to be taken care of until next Thursday.
Talking about issues with his son.
No, I think it's next Thursday. I think it was 15 days.
College issues.
Could be that subject he was on yesterday.
I think so, probably.
I certainly hope not.
Mom told you what?
But I'll tell you, I've still got him on the brain.
Jack Cassidy. Okay.
He's hard to forget.
All right, well, listen, here's the deal. Don't worry. Mom's at work. And when Mom gets done working, I'll talk to Mom, and we'll figure it out. All right? I'll call you during before I leave today. I'll call you before I leave work. Okay, no, don't worry about that. Okay? All right, love you.
All right, bye.
Here you were, talking to us about being parents, when you were just a parent during the show.
I'm sorry that I had to do that. That, of course, was my son.
I certainly understand, being a father myself.
You know him as Keith Partridge.
Yes.
My son, David Cassidy.
There he is.
Was on the telephone with a question about college life.
College life.
And problems in college, and problems that ensue that I talked about on yesterday's show. And the young man certainly shouldn't be calling Dad during the radio broadcast.
Not at all, but he must be nervous about that.
Yeah. He is.
Maybe be a little less nervous if he'd shown up for that particular date.
Huh? I think so.
Sorry.
These are lessons a young man can learn.
Nice lesson.
As I told my sons, David and Sean.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And Sean, when you recorded the Do Run Run, I had it with your mom and the grip.
Yes, another man.
The stage grip, because I'm Jack Cassidy.
And I'm bisexual.
Now listen, here's the deal.
Jack, remember with Marty Ingalls?
Marty Ingalls and Shirley Jones.
Here's the real deal today.
Yes?
We get ratings all the time. Well, no, we do get ratings all the time, but mm-hmm. we get ratings that matter once every 3 months. We get quarterly ratings.
Right.
And one of the, really, and I mean this, one of the resolutions I've tried to make on this show, and everybody's been great rallying around this, is, and because it starts with me, keeping inside stuff inside and just telling you stuff that you think is funny.
Right.
And we know you've had enough crap for a day, you want to laugh.
That's right.
And if we're mad and it can make you laugh, that's great, but if it's not something that'll make you laugh, well, then I'm not going to waste your time with it.
But of course, the ratings those we've always shared with our
audience. Yes.
That's true.
And, as it turns out, there's something to laugh at here.
Yes, there is.
There really is. Now, let me say...
A conundrum, if you will.
Let me say, by comparison... well, first off, let me just say to you, my constituents, that the ratings for the various cities, whether they be good or bad, we do always shoot straight with you.
Yes, mm-hmm. we do.
We tell you when we suck, and we tell you when we don't.
Yep.
The markets are starting to come in now with the fall ratings. For Sacramento, on KHTK, I'm just going to throw this out, and you'll see where I'm going with this. Men 25-54, that is the demo that we're hired for.
That's what we're known for.
Okay, well,
the fellers.
That's a 15 share. That's number one.
That is a pretty amazing number.
Men 18-49, a 14 share. That's number one.
Still huge.
Men 18-34, a 10 share. That's number one.
Yep.
And adults 25-54, men and women... A 9.3, which is only number three.
Number three.
Only number three.
Very strong.
Still, you know what that is right there? That's a great ratings book.
Solid. Very, very happy about that.
Now, let's move on to Washington, D.C.
All right.
Of which the ratings were released today.
Oh, boy.
Hold on a second. Oh, God, where's here?
Got them all there?
I got them. Now, I'm going to read you roughly the same scorecard. Excuse me.
That's all
for
right.
This station, as opposed to that station, two different cities, 3,000 miles apart.
Looking at pretty much the same listening groups.
Men age 25 to 54. Mm-hmm. This is now on the Don and Mike Show, Washington, D.C. only, on WJFK.
Mm-hmm.
9.2, number one.
Thank you, Washington.
Yeah. That's up.
Strong.
Adults 25 to 54, men and women, 5.7 to 5.5. Yeah, same difference. It's number four. If you're in the top five, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. It happened.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Men 18 to 34. Oh, Mike, what are we going to do about this slip? A 12.5 to a 10.7.
Oh, dear.
Still right up there. So you look at all of these. These are the core ratings that they depend on.
Right.
So we do great in all these ratings. Well, the overall ratings came out for the show. Everybody, 12 plus and over. And, oh, my God. I mean, I'm flipping out. We're in 10th place.
Yes.
We're in 10th place.
We're not used to being down there.
We're in 10th place.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at this, and I just want to say something, that the ratings, be they good or bad, we share them with our audience. When we've been number one, God, we jump up on top of the roof and scream it.
We do.
When we got our ass kicked, we screamed it.
Mm-hmm.
We tell you, you know, good or bad. And I don't want to say that the rating system, the Arbitron system, is flawed or inaccurate.
Arbitron.
The Arbitron, it would be a heinous statement
to
say.
Yeah, you don't want
to
say that.
We were down a bit, our show, not in our demographic, but our overall ratings were down, and I'm willing to accept that as fact by Arbitron ratings.
Yes. Okay. We'll work harder. You take the good, you got to take the not so good.
We'll work harder
to
make the show better.
Mm-hmm.
However... Being as you look at this and you say, well, now the core audience was there. The men were there. The guys that listened, you know, men 25-54, that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Adults 25-54, men and women, a 5.7 to a 5.5, you're still in the top five. That's a great number.
Well, when I would look at the overall in that case, I would say, you know, normally when something like this happens,
there's a particular station that does better than most.
Mike.
That's, and there's sometimes it's a surprise.
There is. And this,
there is.
And this time, it's the surprise of surprises.
Really.
And lots of stations and lots of DJs with the Washington, D.C. ratings got killed this time because, and I'm going to announce it now, we're going to, as a matter of fact, we're going to steal part of this format.
Oh, good.
And incorporate it, you know, make it part, we're going to assimilate that, and we're going to, you know, resistance is futile.
Right.
We're going to take that, and we're going to make it part of this show.
Whatever works.
You
mean we're going to take the, particular station did very well?
Yeah, and I want to just say, again, I don't want to say that the rating system is flawed.
No, anyway, of course not. You would never say
I don't
say
want
that.
To say the ratings are inaccurate.
No, can't
I
say
I don't
that.
Want to say any of that.
Right.
However, Washington, D.C., the eighth largest market in America, over 4 million people,
right.
Very heavy concentration of African Americans and Hispanics and Chinese and Japanese and you know, you name it, we got it.
So it was an ethnic. It was an ethnic station that surprised you.
No, it wasn't. I'm used to that, Mike.
Okay.
I'm here to tell you that the latest phenomenon sweeping Washington D.C. radio.
Yeah.
Oldies.
Hip hop.
No.
Country.
No.
Gospel.
No, Rob. No.
Well, that's it. That's the
jumping.
I can't think of anything else.
Jumping all the way. From the bottom. Jumping from the bottom.
Huh. When you say the bottom?
Well, no, the, in recent ratings books, they've come in 10th place, 14th place.
Okay.
Once they did jump up to 7th place, but then they went back down to 9th place. Then they were in 9th place again. But this book, this rating book, shows a trend.
Uh-huh.
And I know where our audience went. That I see the trend.
Okay.
And the trend is...
I'm dying to know.
The number three most popular station in Washington, D.C. is, in fact, the classical music station.
What?
Now, I'm not making this up.
No, you are.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not throwing this out.
Stop the charade.
Seriously, Ron.
No.
What number three rated station?
The number three rated station overall. Hey, Rob.
Do you mean that our listeners...
Would you go up to the office? I left all that stuff. It might have slipped off into the all those papers.
Oh, dear.
Because I've got some fantastic stats here.
You mean everyone in D.C. is now listening to classical music?
Yes, and it's not only us. It's every station that's getting killed. Because I'm telling you, this is the wave that we have not... As yet,
this is a trend that nobody's tapped into.
We've not attached ourselves to it. But yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Well,
you'd rather listen to that than 30 other radio stations, wouldn't you?
Well, clearly, Jesus. Clearly the audience has spoken here.
My
God.
And again.
They were rated number three.
Yes, and hold on, when I get the other information, wait till you hear. I mean, this radio station, don't quote me. Saying the word flawed.
No.
Because there's
you're
nothing,
not saying that.
There's nothing flawed about this.
You'll deny it.
Yes, because I'm saying there's nothing flawed.
Right.
You put the word flawed by name in quotes. You have to put not before that. It's not flawed.
That's right.
It's an accurate representation of the audience that it's obvious that here in Washington, D.C., and I got to get more.
Jesus.
I got to get more ratings.
Come on.
Secret to success.
It's my fault.
What the hell is going on?
I left him up.
Come on, Al.
I left him in the office.
But jeez.
In a nutshell, here's what it is and here's why. You can't get mad. Even though, on one hand, and I said this to Mike today and to Buzz and to Rob and Charlie and everybody, I said... Okay, we didn't have our show. We didn't have a bad book.
No.
Because in all of our targets, we're still number one.
Folks are still there.
Now, we play to win, though.
Mm-hmm.
We like the number one overall.
Damn right. Absolutely. We don't feel
rate.
We belong anywhere else.
Right? And we're number 10 right now, and that just sucks ass.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll deal with it. But what you have to do is look at the numbers and say, they were in the trash. Sorry about that.
What are the listeners saying?
Where did the audience go?
Mm-hmm. To violins, to cellos, to oboes.
Hold on a second. Well, I've got... Now, let me just... You're going to have to give me just a second. Overall, yes, overall...
I just hope we can look at this as a learning experience.
As a radio station, they're number three. They're number three.
Uh-huh. That's what we call the beauty contest.
Now, listen. let's not only put ourselves under the microscope, let's do it with our fellow shock talkers.
That's fair.
Because I'm telling you that the trend that I'm getting from these ratings is that
people are moving away from shock talk.
Shock radio is out.
And classical is
out.
I got you.
Yeah. And it's not just us taking it up the poop from Ludwig von Beethoven.
Ludwig.
No, listen to this. How about in Morning Drive?
Yeah. How about that?
We have a guy that you know is the king of all media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm not his biggest fan, but he's the gold standard. I've said that before.
Yep.
Howard Stern. We're on a lot of stations with Howard.
Right.
We're on with Howard here on WJFK. Howard does a good show. Howard has a 3.6, and he is in ninth place.
Mm-hmm.
The classical music station has a 4.1 and is in sixth place in the mornings.
Well, it's just obvious. That's what people want.
How about during the midday time slot, Mike? We used to be on during that time slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were on there for a good long time.
Give me a second. I'm working through it. Middays. Hold on. First was 12 plus. 3 to 7. Oh, God. Too many papers.
Well, so much information.
Too many freaking papers. Ah, here we go. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The classical station. Oh, let me say our station.
Mm-hmm.
That has just a hodgepodge. It has... Rod and Fez, and then the awful Bill O'Reilly, then an hour of our show.
Right, Day Buffet.
That is a 2.5, 14th place.
Mm-hmm.
The classical music station?
How they do?
6.2.
Wow.
Number one rated in the entire market.
We didn't stand a chance.
During the middle of the day.
It makes total sense to me.
All right.
What?
afternoon drive.
I give up.
This is where we live. This is our neck of the woods. Your Don and Mike show. We had a 4.6. That was in fourth place.
Mm-hmm.
We dropped to a 3.7. That's ninth place.
Ouch.
And I can take being beat by some of these other POS stations because it happens.
Yes, it does.
WGMS, the classic station, from seventh to third.
And Don, don't say classic. Say classical.
4.2 to 5.6.
Jesus.
Hold on a second.
Jesus.
And then you have the night numbers.
Night.
Night.
At night.
At night. Okay. You've got our guys, Ron and Fez. Oh, hold on. I got the wrong thing.
Lots of information there.
Yeah, so many pages.
Oh, here you go. You got our guys, Ron and Fez. Oh, they got screwed worse by this than anybody did. Yeah, nice little streak going. They got a 1.3, 19th place.
Ouch. Where was the classical station?
5.5, 5th place.
That must be true.
Yeah, so what you're telling me is in Washington, D.C., and I've only used our shows as examples on our station, you're telling me that in every day part, from 6 a.m. till midnight, you're telling me that a lineup that has our show, which I think is arguably the greatest show in the history of radio, and don't argue because it's my opinion,
right?
Howard... And he does a fine imitation of our show. Bill O'Reilly, all right, he's junk, but you've surrounded him with stuff that's good.
Yeah.
Ron and Fez and us. And after us, these two guys, Ron and Fez.
Right.
You mean that we're all so bad that people listen to more classical music than us? The answer, sadly, yes.
Well, we hear you, and that's probably why you've chosen to play this music in the background.
That's right, Mike. I'm not saying that the rating system is flawed and inaccurate.
You told us what you want.
We listen to the ratings. Now, our core audience for this ratings book, in which we were rated number 10,
right.
Our core audience is right there.
Yeah, but the core audience isn't good enough, Don. We want more than the core audience, and the way we're going to get that... This is by playing classical music.
But, Mike, we're number one with men 18 plus. We're number one with men 25, 54. For God's sakes, with men and women 25 to 54, we're only 0.2 of a point away from the lead. We're in fourth place.
Yes, but if we can play this classical music, it'll kick us over the top. Because, well, the ratings don't lie. That's what people are listening to.
Obviously.
It is a sensation that has started here and will spread throughout the nation.
You know, you've heard of techno, you've heard of hip-hop,
mm-hmm.
And now
Now you've got classical.
That's right.
So you know what this is. Really.
What even, is old is new again.
Even mm-hmm. with our ratings, which in some cases were very good, the whole thing, as I just said to everybody, we said that a giant panic meeting upstairs. I said, you spit on it. It's a soiled sample. It's a soiled freaking sample.
You're not saying that, but you're saying that.
Well, yeah, it's my opinion that this ratings information is garbage. It's tainted because there's no way that the third most listened to radio station in this city is a classical music station. Oh.
Come on, Al!
Chopin, Beethoven records moving up the charts.
Yeah, well.
And listen,
There it is.
I know that, no, they did the Christmas thing. I know they did the Christmas thing.
Ah.
And another station did the Christmas thing. I don't know. This is not something that you can just say, this is a one-book phenomenon. No, as I look through their last, well, yes, it is. But
yes, it is.
But it's funny. It's,
yeah.
You know, we just had a meeting upstairs with a bunch of very scared executives,
mm-hmm.
and
they always get a little nervous.
Yeah.
You know, at least you know, thank God for you guys listening to the show that we got our nut. You know that we're doing okay. Mike and I are going to walk out of here today with more money in our pockets than we walked in with because of this ratings book. But. You know, the overall feeling around here is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, everybody's a little shocked.
We all want more.
Killed and horrified, and everybody's walking around and going.
And I'm saying I'm not happy about being rated number 10. Everybody said, "What are you going to do? Are you going to talk about it? Are you?" Of course.
I heard a sales guy back there humming at his desk, going ba 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 ba.
We talk about them good or bad, but I don't think you've ever heard us come out and say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say fluke. I'm not going to say the word.
No, of course you wouldn't say
it. I'm not going to say it, but I tell you, I've lived in this city. I love this city. Mm-hmm. No. Not even one like this that's on a commercial.
John, I don't think this would count as even classical music.
Well, we've got it on here, though.
This is Gershwin.
It's a classical favorite, Mike.
Gershwin, George Gershwin, does it count as classical?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, they get away with playing it.
Yeah.
Either way, all I know is...
This is Rhapsody in Blue. This is like playing modern music.
Modern jazz classic.
Cut.
Yeah.
What? Is it a deep cut?
It's a deep cut. All right,
you're going to play classical, boys. Don't lose your heads. Play classical.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on.
Wedding March. This is all we could find in our library.
Right,
we're going to have to buy more.
We're doing the best we could. You know, we just bought a compilation disc today. We didn't have the proper music on hand to kill in the ratings. Well, no wonder. Listen to how you're reacting to these songs.
Yes, love them.
No wonder.
I love them. I know they're
favorites.
Yeah.
All right, not really. I'll give you this. Those other ones were toe tappers, but you know...
Do you have anything from Prokofiev?
The other ones, they were spikes. You know what
Gustav I mean? Gustav Holst.
The other ones were the ones that you throw in once an hour for spice.
That's right.
Ravel.
This is basically what it is.
Mm-hmm. Meat and potatoes.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. What the hell is going on here?
Not in a million years. I mean, it's happened, so not for another million years.
Thank God.
But
does this mean maybe one of those comets is going to hit the Earth?
Now, Mike, what it means is that we... wise up, we face facts, and we realize that the Arbitron ratings, which are not in any way flawed or inaccurate,
right.
are telling us that the number 3 rated radio station and the station kicking our ass, and it's not only our shows, all the shows on all the stations
that's right.
are down. Everybody's down.
The public, right. public spoken.
Yeah, and we hear you, and we see you.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is...
We feel you.
We're going to keep doing the same show we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be lying if I said there wasn't going to be some influence of this that somehow came through on our show.
And you can listen for that starting today.
It'll be subtle.
Because we care.
I think it'll be very subtle, but I just want you to know. Do we have a phone number for WGMS?
I can get you one.
Would you get me an? I'd like to call over there.
It'll be busy, though, because everybody's calling.
Talk to their...
asking for their favorite song.
Talk to their their program director. Congratulate him on just the ass... kicking.
Yeah.
Wow, that we took. Now of course, we did great in all the things that we're supposed to do great in, but
we did.
How the hell do you know, we lost somebody. Somebody ain't listening.
Somebody sprinted over to hear the symphony.
Right.
classical station must have done some kind of stunts.
I hate to say
they give away a car?
I hate to say this. I'm looking at these ratings, and I want to tell you something. You know what I see? I see it's the women's fault. I see the ratings. Hold on. Look at these ratings.
Oh, you're killing me.
Even in the middle of this absolutely not flawed or inaccurate rating survey,
that's right.
Men 25-54. Don and Mike show 8.7 to 9.2. Number one.
They're number still one. Here. Yeah. The guys hung around.
Yeah. Yeah. Men 18-34.
You're saying the ladies ran
number
away?
Number one. And men 18-plus. Number one. All here. Men 18-plus, number one.
They didn't leave.
But there's...
I mean, there are a bunch of Stepford wives out there that were listening to classical music. Is that what you're saying?
Look at this. There's one category that they run... That they allow girls into.
Mm-hmm.
Adults 25 to 54. men
well, there's
women.
Also the women category, too.
I know, but we draw just...
Right.
I mean, we our station targets the males.
Sure.
But there's only one that has girls in it.
Allowed in.
And that's adults, men, and boys and girls, 25
to 54. Yeah.
That's the only one we went down in, 5.7 to 5.5.
Bitches!
Yeah, they got to be the ones doing it.
Those bitches!
We lost them. We lost them. You haven't any...
What, do they think they don't get treated with respect?
I don't get that.
Those bitches?
I don't know.
Now, Mike...
I don't know, C-words.
We have to win those back.
Well,
I know how we can.
Rob, we got to break. We got to break right now because I feel... If we don't break now, I feel that classical station overtaking us even further. Looking at it. We'll be in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Goddamn Amadeus. Rock me, Amadeus.
Man, now I feel really bummed about what my daughter got for Christmas.
What was that, a violin?
A violin! Violin, oh my God, I did it to myself. I did it to myself. I didn't buy it. My ex-wife bought it for her.
You know,
if I'd only known.
It's funny. It's just, and that's what I've said to everybody today. Yeah. Comment on the book? Yeah. Funny.
Yeah.
Well, what's your thoughts? Have you looked at the numbers? Funny. A classical station is kicking ass.
That's right.
Funny.
Program director Jim Allison declines to be interviewed on the air.
Oh, that pompous ass.
He's not going to share. He sounded like I was shaking a meat cleaver at him. He said, Don and Mike show, on the air? I think I'll pass.
Well, he just doesn't want to share his secrets.
Really? Come on.
I'm surprised he wasn't drunk. I'd be.
He's kicking our ass.
Yeah. He doesn't want to share that.
Okay, so there you go. There you go. That's the latest on the ratings.
Thank you, ladies.
Really?
Number three. Come on.
How can anybody in radio in this market? And we had, like I just said, a bunch of real good ratings that they're happy about here.
I'd like people to go around the country and find out how many major cities have a classical music station at number three in the ratings. I really would.
You know, that survey's done, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
One. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yes. Congratulations. They ought to really celebrate Christmas all year.
So they're all happy. Back there.
Sure.
I mean, back there, they got their ties on. They're saying it was great book.
Right.
No, let's face it.
Yeah.
We're down to number 10. And the reason is classical music. So let me just say this. We'll be right. Bach.
Get it? Bach is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right, we're in the victory temple. I can't get it. Here it comes. Hey, shake it.
Sounds like she's having sex.
The Don and Mike Show. That gravy dog, the Don and Mike Show.
All right. Welcome back.
I told you it would be subtle.
I like it.
Can't even notice it.
No. Hope we do it forever. Don't count on it past maybe the end of today's show. I don't know if I can make it to the end of the show. Jesus Christ.
La, 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 la.
Come on, Don. It's what people like.
I know,
Don, it's what everybody likes.
That's right.
Even the boss.
How you doing? I like classical. How you doing?
I like dreaming.
Because dreaming can make you mine. I like dreaming. I like old pickup trucks.
Tomatoes in the rain. And pain. That's my own lyric.
I can see clearly now.
Well, the rain is gone. I am woman.
Hear me roar. I think I love you. Yeah. So what am I so afraid of? Is that the one I lose you on?
That's the one you lose
David
me
Cassidy?
Yeah, David Cassidy. You always make me drop off. You always
David Cassidy
me
from Jack Cassidy's Lions?
That's right, Jack Cassidy, while he was having sex with a woman.
God didn't make little green apples.
And it don't rain in Indianapolis.
In the summertime.
Yeah. Mike?
Yes?
Christina Applegate.
Yes?
Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
Who incidentally loves classical music.
She does. Yeah. What a POA.
Mm. I love this. I'm following the Robert Blake jury pool.
I don't understand.
She's still in. She is still in. Out of all of the celebs and would-be celebs, it is still ongoing. They do not know yet if she's going to be let go. Everybody else that's semi-famous, even somebody like Andy Dick, was said, okay, no, it's Andy Dick. Get out of here.
That's I'm right. Okay as long as I can listen to my Mozart music.
You know, meanwhile, they get Kelly Bundy in there.
Right.
She sticks around.
Sure, wouldn't you?
Now, Buzz, you might know this. I didn't catch Letterman did last night, did you? I
haven't seen it back yet, no.
Okay. David Letterman questioned CBS's commitment. And I find that as hard to believe as I find the rating system. It's not flawed. It's not inaccurate.
Not at all.
That's right. And CBS is behind all of its performers.
That's right.
Whether they be on the highest level of television or here on the lowest level of radio.
Sure.
But who cannot understand Letterman being pissed? And tell me if you and I wouldn't have had a major S-fit.
Right.
Here's the deal. CBS, we talked about those Worthless People's Choice Awards yesterday.
Right.
Well, the awards were on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And to vote, you had to go to CBS.com, mm-hmm. which is why yesterday I think we got in the debate about that Charlie Sheen show.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a piece of garbage. But it,
Buzz likes it.
But it won a People's Choice Award, and Rob said that those guys were the host of the show.
Those so guys.
It's, so it's obvious, you know, that the kick is in on CBS.
Fixed. Yeah.
So Letterman goes to the thing where you www.cbs.com
mm-hmm.
to vote for himself. And they had a picture of David Letterman and Jay Leno
mm-hmm.
and Oprah Winfrey. And on the CBS website, when you went to vote, they had a giant picture of Jay Leno
uh-huh.
and a real nice picture of Oprah Winfrey
okay.
and no picture of David Letterman.
Oh, my God.
On the CBS website.
Anyway, he did something on the show last night. I didn't see it.
No.
But apparently they ended up taking Leno's picture off. But how great is that? That even a guy like that gets S on like we do all the time. CBS, let's stick the Survivor. I got to admit, I looked into this today because I saw the ads during football
right.
with the All-Star Survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me, we all...
Are they going to get some celebrities?
No, these are the people from previous Survivor
Richard
editions.
Richard Hatch.
Oh, delightful.
Tina. Right, now, hold on, guys. Give me a second.
Okay. Because
this is going to be a good quiz to see just how little we remember or care.
Yes.
The deal is, after the Super Bowl, they start the next Survivor.
Uh-huh.
Same night? What do you mean?
Same night they started? I mean, the night of the Super Bowl? I mean,
yeah, they always do.
Usually right after it, yeah.
They always do it, like at 9:30, and then it'll be on whatever night it's on.
Right.
So, I'm thinking back to this show, and I guess I, like a lot of people, really only liked it the first year.
That's the only year that I really got into it.
But I know a lot of people who still watch it.
Yes.
It was the first year, the year with Richard Hatch.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people who watch it all the time and chat about it all the time. So here you go.
I watched it a little bit also when the guy fell into the fire.
They have the all-star cast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you tell me, you kind of watch it like I did. How many of these people you could recognize? Of course, Richard Hatch. We all know naked Richard Hatch.
He won the first one. Right.
Right. Then you have Rudy Bosch.
Yeah, Rudy, I remember. And that was the last one that I watched.
The old guy.
That's the old guy.
That's the guy that, has the crew cut and such. He talks like Jimmy Hoffa.
Right.
All right. Then you have, and I'm just going through the names that I recognize now, Ethan Zahn.
Nope.
That was from Africa. Somehow I remember his name.
Nope.
Nobel.
Sue Hawk, who was the female truck driver from the first Survivor.
Remember Sue.
I do. Her? She's kind of dykey.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was the second survivor because she's the one that said, if you were dying of thirst.
Oh, that one. Okay,
no,
good,
no,
Rob.
No,
I remember her.
No. Sue Hawk was on the first one.
Yeah.
Let me see if there's another Sue. Which one did you say if you were dying of thirst? Was it?
I know the one Rob.
Was it the? I do too. But was it the Australian Outback? Because I got a list here.
It's the Australian Outback.
Australian.
Just goes to show how memorable the program
Africa,
was.
Africa, Australia, Amazon.
Oh boy.
Marseille. Yeah, whatever it is. Pearl Marseille. Islands.
Yeah.
Africa, Thailand. Amazon.
They've been to that many places?
Yeah. Anyway.
I haven't been paying attention.
All of these net. Jenna. Remember Jenna?
Of course.
Jenna Lewis. Then you have the names that just do nothing for me.
Well, they didn't accept the idea that I pitched to them way back when, which I thought, seriously, I thought this was a strong idea, and I thought it would work. Game show host Survivor.
Where you have
Peter Tamarkin. You know, you have even Bob Barker out there. You put Chuck Woolery, and you see who comes out on top.
Speaking last night, one of those bad infomercials.
Yes.
That they run on the TV Guide channel.
Yeah.
If you ever go and buy and you know you're really bored.
Mm-hmm. I figured as much when you were watching Bewitched.
there was something to clean jewelry, and Chuck Woolery was doing the spot.
Sure.
And it was done with a home camera, and he made a point of saying, this is not a paid endorsement. I'm not getting a dime. I love the product.
Wow. Yeah, he's not getting paid.
There he was, Chuck Woolery. Here are the other names, Mike. Amber, Tom, Alicia, Rob,
yeah.
Rupert, Jerry, Tina.
Remember Tina.
I remember Tina.
Rupert West, Pupkin.
Ethan.
Is it Jerry Manthe?
Jerry. Oh, yes, Jerry
a
Manthe.
Woman.
She
yes.
had curly hair and was in
She was
for.
Evil, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
but
her.
Not bad to look at.
Yeah, yeah, I remember her. Very good.
They all are. Ethan. Colby, Richard Hatt, Shean Huang.
Colby was the one whose luxury item was a Texas flag. Remember that tool?
That's right.
Oh, I remember that. Now, so you're good at reminding me.
And Jenna.
This helps.
So I think if you watched at least a couple of
them. What about Clay?
Clay Aiken will not be on this show.
Ruben?
You asked me about Clay Aiken on virtually everything.
I know it.
On virtually every topic. I say to Mike, hey, did you see the ad for that new movie? Yeah. And I say, is Clay Aiken in it?
Yeah.
I was like, now why would Clay Aiken be in the movie with Ben Stiller?
Well, you know why? It's because I have that in common with Jack Cassidy.
bisexuality. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hey.
Susan came in second on the first one.
Right, Sue Hawk. She was the truck driver, right?
Yeah, she was the dykey lady.
But she was the big strapping lady, right?
Yeah. Man, I guess.
How about our lady that sang the song? Remember the lady that sang the song?
I know we've got the tape somewhere.
And isn't she from Virginia? Or West Virginia?
Yeah, we tried to get a hold of her. I think we got like as close as her relatives one time. Mm-hmm. I don't. You got it, Robbie? You got anything? Never mind.
Oh, we had one in the studio.
I got something. I know it's way down on that side down there. Oh, you got it? Okay. Here it is. The lady from Survivor.
Congratulations. This is Max Barrett Jr. Jeff
you know, you
Bodine,
can't give it away, guys.
And you just won the CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
Not Jethro Bodine.
Here you go. Here she is.
Way down upon the Herbert River, far, far away. Well, I've got sand in every nook and cranny. Pants are wet all day. Yeah.
And there was another guy who sang.
A survivor's life, nearly sinking, barely floating, filled with stress and strife, anticipation of that voting, barely.
The guy's name is
Mitchell.
He didn't make the final All-Star cut.
Hear Jeff Probst say, hey, the tribe has spoken.
Okay, enough of that.
I saw it was either a television show or I read it. I don't know where I got this information. But the information centered around all of these reality shows now, these shows, the contestants have systems that are going to get them more camera time. They are all now, some of them are prepped, some of them are trained, but they know how to behave once they get into these shows. There are people that are consulting them so that they will maximize their camera
time. The only one that really turned it into anything, and she called us, was that girl Colleen.
Yes.
Was in the movie with Rob Schneider.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But that's it for her. She's not on the show. Mike?
What about the lady on The View? Wasn't she on it?
Oh, that's right. What's his name?
Hasselbeck's wife. Joy Behar.
Mike?
That's right. Mrs. Hasselbeck.
Hey, how funny is that? Joy Behar doing an ad for Weight Watchers.
Yeah, then you see her at the end when she's got like that white top on and she still looks fat.
Why don't they just call me? You know, come on.
I both stand out there and go, hey, wait.
I lost 80 pounds, but I still look like Jim Belushi. So, I mean, what's the deal? You know, Mike?
Yes.
if you could, could you pick Spalding Gray out of a lineup?
Yes.
Yeah. Buzz, could you?
I could, too. I remember seeing him on HBO.
I hate him, though.
I really hate him. Ixnay on that.
Why?
Ixnay.
Why?
Two parts I want to tell you about here.
Why?
First.
What did I miss?
First, somebody posed a question to me today.
I got to come to. Oh, really?
They said, we don't know. No, hey, Buzz.
Sorry.
Now, listen, you watch it, you.
Okay.
You watch it, or I'm going to jump over there.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
I'm going to F with you.
I could be wrong.
See, because, you know, you get your secret.
Okay, give me the information.
Spalding Gray is missing. Spalding Gray is missing. The police are looking. His brother says he was not in a happy state the last time that he saw him.
Ooh.
But it's not unusual because he's been depressed for a long, long time.
Oh, my.
He had the one-man show, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's fine.
Is reported Sunday. Okay, Mike. Happy now?
Hey, yeah.
Happy now?
I stand by what I said. If I was him, I'd be depressed, too. That's terrible. That's so unfair.
I'm sure he's fine. He'll turn up.
Can you imagine you're coming home from Iraq? And you've been over there, and you've been serving your country, and you just want to get back to the greatest land.
And God bless all those people over there.
And you get off the airplane, and you're finally back. And who's there? But goddamn Tony Orlando.
Ah! Oh,
go back.
Singing Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the
Get me back on the plane.
When this happened, these poor people, the members of the 442nd Fighter Wing, they come back, they're welcoming members back, they're coming back from Iraq, and they think, wouldn't this be great? They get off the plane, and he's wearing the tuxedo like he wore on the 1970s show.
Oh, he did.
And it's karaoke.
With his red carnation or his red pocket square.
And it's karaoke. Oh. Tony Orlando.
So he just like puts the tape in and starts singing it?
And now Tony Orlando wants you to know, Tony Orlando and comedian Bob Hope have welcomed home more than 580 Americans who have been imprisoned in foreign countries.
Right, wow.
Tie a Yellow Ribbon isn't number one yet, says Bob Hope told him.
One hit.
I gotta sing that song for a long, long time. Apparently, Tony Orlando.
Yeah, go get her, Tony.
quoting the dead Bob Hope.
Get her, and this is Rob Underground Hope.
That's it. Boy, you know, I got not enough time and too many things. Let me just say, thank you, God, for answering my prayers.
What?
The Bee Gees will still record together.
Oh,
even though Morris is dead. What looks like Maurice.
Maurice.
Is it Morris or Maurice?
It's spelled Maurice. It's pronounced Morris.
Oh, I always thought it was Maurice Gibb.
No. Barry, who has the Lion King hair, and Robin, who is always the ugliest, they will get together. They will get together.
Well, thank God.
Will they get together with Tony Orlando?
Do you care that Frasier's going off the air? I don't.
I do not.
He seems to think it's a big freaking deal that he's been on TV for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. The two other brothers, they're not going to call in Joe?
Joe Gibb.
And
he can save that band.
And let me see. Frasier's over. That's done.
Their sister Marla.
BFD. Right. Ray Romano has been talking with everybody whether he should end.
Oh, come on.
Everybody loves...
Why are you doing this?
Loves Ramy.
Don't make a big deal about it.
It'll be the last season he wants it to end at the...
You know what, Don?
Right time. What, Ray?
I know where Spalding Gray is. He's with my brother Robert.
That's right, Ray. I've got him. I've got him in my root cellar.
Well, you go ahead and laugh, Mike, but Spalding Gray is out there, and I think you have something to do with it.
Oh, come on. He's depressed.
Oh, and hold on. I got one last thing. Nazis in the news.
Okay.
Although,
Rob, well, that we need to cheer.
That was a long, long time ago. Yeah. Germans in the news.
But
Germans
don't forget.
Give me some music here for the phone scanning, please. The German police are investigating after an angry man returned a computer he bought, saying it was packed with potatoes instead of computer parts. See, Buzz, you know the only reason I read that?
Right.
Because I thought, do you have that one for your newsletter?
I'm familiar with the story. No, I didn't have it for the news, but I did see it today.
Oh, you saw it.
Yeah.
I only threw it in there just to hurt you. Sorry about that.
Hard to get potatoes past me.
I don't get it.
The store replaced the computer free, but became suspicious when the guy returned later with another potato-filled computer casing. The second time, he said he didn't really need a computer or anything else. He just needed his money back in cash. And then they arrested him.
So he was basically taking the guts out of the computer, filling it with potatoes.
Yeah.
What a stupid German.
Then he went back the second time.
This should trick them again.
Just ask for money. Call now. Call right now. The rotating random phone scan. God, do we want to hear from you. 877-365-3636. Dial recklessly.
That computer made great fries.
Get on the line to get on the air. Your calls on the phone scan line straight ahead.
This is the Don and Mike Show. And listen to the Don and Mike Show for your chance to win a trip for two to Super Bowl XXXVIII, courtesy of AOL for broadband. With AOL top speed, making your web pages load up to 2 times faster. And it's only on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, excuse me, Ricky. Ricky, I did see what you were doing. It felt good, didn't it? It's all right. We all have feelings like this sometimes. I'm just glad you're doing this in the privacy of your own room. When you're a little bit older, we'll have to talk more about these feelings and what causes them and how we can control these feelings. I'm sorry I intruded on your privacy. I'll be sure to knock next time, okay?
The Don and Mike Show. They have the best radio show on the radio. Don and Mike.
You know, Rob, you're going to ruin this, though, if you keep picking the classical songs that at least people listen to and go, oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, nothing on here has been, like, pure classical.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Get you something better.
Give me something better.
A little more obscure.
You know, just that boring stuff you hear whenever you turn
exactly.
That
everything's like you'd see in, you know.
On.
Like a cartoon.
Right. I think you'll like this.
Okay, you got one?
This is nice.
Let me try this out of a jingle. Hold on, here we go. And stand by, the rotating phone scan lies straight ahead.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's more like it.
Thank you, Rob.
Only listening to what the audience has said.
That's right. Just don't think Bugs Bunny cartoon.
I'm not saying that the rating system is...
I just said that's hard for him.
...flawed or inaccurate. The fact is... Uh-huh. We're getting our asses kicked by a classical station.
We admit it.
And not just us, everybody in Washington radio getting our ass kicked by a classical station. So that's
Don,
that's our tip of the hat to them.
I'm wondering if you'd mind me speaking in a different way.
Not yet, Mike.
Perhaps I could speak like this for the duration of the program.
No, thanks.
Are you sure?
I am sure. I am. I was born sure because I know. You're going to be too mad at people?
Yes.
To continue that?
I think I could be polite. The duration of the phone scan.
Whatever. 877-365-3636.
You mean whatever.
Do whatever you like.
Thank you.
Hello. Let's take phone calls now. Live phone calls. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone
Hello?
Scan. Hello. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I got a joke for you guys.
No, negative. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Don and Mike, if you got a joke, you call, you tell us you
Goodbye.
Got a joke. And then we give out your phone number if we don't laugh at it, which we don't.
But we thank you.
But we try to laugh. Hi, right. Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Hi, Don and Mike. How you guys doing?
Very well, thanks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir. I would like to know, has anyone seen Horatio Caine? Last night.
on CSI Miami?
Yes. I watched it last night. It was a good one. They played the tard card last
yes,
night.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
They played the tard card.
I just read that they were going to play the tard card.
As I recall, the trainable was named Eugene.
Yes, he was.
Eugene. Hey, H.
Yes, H.
H. We are partners. I am smarter than people think I am.
That's right.
You know, again.
And was he always there like he is in every CSI? Was Horatio always there?
Yeah.
He was always there.
And even Frida said to me last night, at one point, when the background on this is that the CSI Miami, one guy shoots another guy in a garage, and a retarded guy watches it.
Ah.
Now, it's a garage, and it's like an underground garage. It's one of those with levels going down.
Right.
So this happened like on the third level. There's not a lot of sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Yet after David Caruso in the opening gets done talking to the guy and figures out that the guy is in tarred, he's a trainable, he starts talking to him that way. Okay, my name is Horatio.
Now, if you've seen anything,
I'm going to help you. Mm-hmm. I need you to think very hard.
Then he talks to everybody like that.
Yeah.
But
he really does.
With the intense stare, too.
Right.
He's got the intense stare going on.
Then he turns and he puts his sunglasses on.
That's
now,
right.
Keep in mind, he's in a parking garage underground. He puts his sunglasses on just so he can be cool and say,
now, I'm done talking to you. I'm going to go walk into a wall.
Anyway, yeah, I saw it. Love it. You know, it's the easiest. God, Hollywood, listen, Rob, you got, never mind. It's in my wallet. I don't have my pants. It's in my satchel.
No.
I should be in Hollywood, for God's sakes. I have a bag. Mm-hmm. I have a bag that I carry to work every day.
If you allow me to put this guy behind bars,
listen,
I'll let you squeeze Emily Proctor's breast.
Here's my point,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's not really a purse that it's a work bag
satchel
that I carry and in
police
and inside it with all the usual stuff, you know, the credit cards, driver's license, etc. Right there, Screen Actors Guild card.
You remember?
See that, the laminated kind,
mm-hmm.
The nice, pretty kind. You know what that means?
Hey, you see what I'm doing here? I'm taking mine out. You're not the only one.
Mike, I'm making a point here, and I don't think you'd be willing to go this far.
All right.
Here's what I'm saying, and I've maintained this from day one. And it just came through last night, spoken volumes during CSI.
Mm-hmm.
If you are an established actor, an aspiring actor,
okay.
You want to get it done,
yeah.
You play the tarred card, and my friend, it's there. Because I'm telling you, this role that this guy played last night, he didn't have any challenging scenes at all. All he did was sit there and look at Horatio and say, I have a good memory. I remember everything that happened. I'm a good boy. I clean the windshields.
Oh, you're bringing your thing up about the fact that you think it's easy to
yes,
play.
It's totally.
You'll get an Emmy for that.
It's a cakewalk
mm-hmm.
to play a tard,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you, Hollywood, here I am. I've got the card. I've got the SAG card. There are thousands of struggling actors in Los Angeles and New York
mm-hmm.
who can't
find my Screen Actors card.
It doesn't matter because you're just as bad as I am. Neither one of us deserve them, but we have them. And the point is, we both can work in the film and television industry.
Would you be more impressed if, say, a trainable played a brilliant person in a TV show?
Yes. Yeah, now that's Emmy-worthy. You show me a tard that plays a genius.
Like Ricky in that movie we watched yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
If he played like Einstein.
It could work.
Frida was not happy with me last night as we watched CSI.
You place your thumb on this particular card the right way and you hold it up like if you're in a bar. You know, maybe it would mean something.
You need a BJ. Question mark.
Ah,
BJ's.
The old day when BJ's was like, that's like a Costco thing, right?
BJ's, it's a separate place.
It's
its own special, but it still exists.
Yeah.
You don't think, you live in a very narrow world, don't
sorry,
you?
Sorry, Mike.
You have to get out more often.
I can't.
It's a big warehouse store.
I'm basically afraid of people, and I like my solitude, and I enjoy being with my wife. Except like last night when
you could hold this card up and go, BJ's?
We're watching the show,
uh-huh.
and I start going, Eugene. My name is Eugene.
Uh-huh.
I am Eugene. And she's like, hey, stop it. You're not doing your show now.
Well, there's a reason why you would never be able to take home the Emmy. I'm going to tell you what it is.
Why?
Because you'd be halfway through your very first take, and you wouldn't be successfully able to get through it, because you'd make yourself laugh.
You'd be laughing. I know, Mike.
That's true, Rob.
Mike, even though
you know I'm right about that.
Even though I've only had bit parts on sitcoms... And on that great science fiction show that you and I were on.
Babylon 5, where you stole the line, and then I followed your lead, and that got us the Screen Actors Guild card.
Tell you, I got the composure to do it.
I want to be in a movie before I die.
I'm the next big tard. Call me. I saw CSI last night like that guy did.
But see, they'll trace your history to this show, and they won't let you do that. You have to have that.
They're not trusting me.
Sensitivity.
They're not trusting me. How do they know? How do they know until they bite in and find the soft, chewy center
of your acting ability?
Yes.
They're lost.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
Phone scan. Hi.
Yeah. Do you know at Maurice Gibbs' funeral? Andy Gibbs ended up dropping a casket on his foot, and he ended up saying,
All right, now that would have been funny, except Andy Gibbs is already dead.
Yeah. Andy's dead.
You could have picked one of the other ones.
Right. Barry.
Robin.
Robin and...
And Barry.
You said Barry before.
Barry. And, mm-hmm. and Morris was dead. Right. Maurice. Right. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Howdy. Phones again.
Yeah, when Pumpkinhead finally dies, which will probably be pretty soon, Jerry Lewis I'm talking about, well, who do you think would be the best smarmy celebrity to take his place? I'm thinking Tony Orlando.
On the telethon?
Yeah, I suppose.
Telethon,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, even that's you know, as much as we make fun of Jerry Lewis, that's really not giving Jerry Lewis his due.
No, but they've been honing and refining Orlando because he does the New York beat.
Orlando.
He'll walk into
Orlando.
It. He'll dance into
hey,
it.
I, really?
Oh, yeah.
I dare you to go up to the office and find that Tony Orlando re-release. Of
With every yellow ribbon?
It's up there. It's got a label on it.
It's about as bad as it gets.
I dare you.
Song.
I With dare every you. Yellow ribbon. Around the time of the Gulf War,
yeah.
We had Tony Orlando on our show one day as a goof. Because he really, to him, it was a big deal.
Right.
It was a world premiere.
Right.
Of the follow-up to "Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree."
The song that the one hit that he had that he's just parlayed into an entire career.
Mm-hmm. And then when we went to the war with in the Gulf with the other Bush,
with every yellow ribbon,
he came out with this song, and it's the worst. Robbie, I know it's up in the office. I know we could play it. Hello, Don and Mike show phone scan. Hello.
Yes. I
Sadly,
just wanted.
Sadly, it's out of format though. It's not classic.
Oh, shut up. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
I wanted to mention two tards, Corky and Benny on L.A. Law. Bravo.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's not forget Jim Nance. Don and Mike show. Hello there. And Arch Campbell. So we're talking about her favorite TV.
Arch.
Don and Mike. Hi, phone scan.
Gentlemen.
Hi there.
A question for Michael.
Good afternoon.
Michael.
You're the answer man at the moment. What has become of Sherry Liquor?
Sherry Liquor? I think Sherry Liquor's doing traffic on the TV.
How did she leave your domain?
I think she was foolish to leave. By car.
Like they all are. Or they all come and they all go. Mm-hmm.
What was her strong suit?
Her strong suit was the fact that she was lovely to look at.
Her voice was terrific over the radio.
She was marvelous. We miss her as well.
On TV,
Well, then, go to, she works at Channel 9. Go get, pull your pants down. And,
You're halfway down.
And work it up.
Are there any problems between the three of you?
Between the three of us?
No.
No.
So she left on good terms.
This is someone who was on the show, how long ago?
Sure,
seven
long.
Or 8 years ago?
Oh, at least 8 to 9 years ago.
I'm curious as to why you're still obsessing about
Let
her.
Let it go, sir.
Well, I'm writing a biography on her.
You are?
Yes.
No, you must be really obsessed. I'm sure it'll be a million seller.
She's a hell of a woman, I can tell you that.
This is just a biography.
Oh, you can. Do you have personal experience?
Yes, I do know her well.
Oh, you do.
Do you really? Yes. So if we were to call over to the Channel 9 where she works and tell her that you called,
yes.
She would know you?
She should know me.
What do you mean she should? Now you say you know her well.
Mm-hmm.
Then you follow that up with, she should know me. I'm curious.
Well, she does know me. Here's the question.
Now you can't. You know, once again, you've changed the story a third time.
And how could you be writing a biography on somebody who you've never met? And
no, I do know her. The question is,
wait a minute. Now, hold on. No, stop. No, the question is now, as we turn the spotlight on you, you say you know her. Have you met her?
I have met her. I know her well.
Do you consider her a friend?
Not at this point. No, no longer.
Why would that be?
No longer. Why no longer?
Well, we had some rough times.
So wait, hold on. You're calling to ask me why a girl that was on our show 8 years ago left.
Yeah.
You're writing a biography about her,
yes.
But you can't ask her because
you've had some rough times.
We're not. I'm not probably going to get that kind of information out of her.
Were you linked to her romantically?
Yes.
You were.
Oh, now get out. Come on, get out of here.
No, this is very true.
Very, very true. And you're writing a biography, but that's a lie, too.
No,
that's a lie. You wouldn't write a biography about a traffic reporter. That wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Well, she's also involved in theater.
Yeah, but since most people don't know who she is, who would buy the book?
Well, that's the whole, if everybody knew about everybody, we wouldn't need biography.
Well, why don't you contact her directly?
Because it's probably not a wise idea.
Why?
Because we've had some difficult times. And
oh, now I'm beginning to think perhaps we should put a call into Sherry to alert her to the fact that there is a stalker about.
Hey, dude, we don't have to do that phone thing with you, do we? Like to call her and give her your phone number?
Well, you have to do what's necessary.
Oh, he's creepy.
Oh, yeah, God.
You're entering the land of creepy.
Creepy,
now.
Sweaty. No, listen, we wish her nothing but good stuff. There's a lot of people who have been on this show who have gone on to do other things.
I have enjoyed her immensely.
And there's no doubt. I mean, she was on our
show. I certainly hope somebody will call and ask about Christine Kerner.
8 years ago.
Or I'm writing that book. Or Kim Boomer Anderson.
All right, see you.
There's a soft spot for Sherry. Take care.
Ew. He's creepy, man.
Very creepy.
That's the creepiest.
Then the greasy phone falls out of his hand and the cradle slides.
And no, he doesn't really know her. He's met her, but he's not allowed to.
We had some rough times.
Hello.
Rough times like stay away from my house.
I think there's a court order involved.
Hold on, Rob, get surprised. We found it. From back in the Gulf War, he brought this piece of ass record to our studios. And Mike and I had to sit there like two goddamn monkeys looking at Tony Orlando while he played this record. And we had to go, oh, yeah, this will be a smash.
With every yellow ribbon, every yellow ribbon, every yellow ribbon we tie around the tree.
Sad. Too bad that we were such pussies back then that we just didn't laugh to his face.
That's good, Tony.
With every yellow ribbon.
We'd be pussies if he was in here today. Be the same goddamn thing. But it was funny.
I don't think so.
Because we,
I don't think
no, so. We weren't. We'd handle it just the way we handled it.
I think I would tell him it sucks.
Really?
I think.
Get him into the studio and tell him it sucks.
Yeah, I would tell him it sucks.
Yeah, I suppose. Give it up, Tony.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Listen, that last guy was obviously lying. He asked you what she was doing now. Well, he would know that if he was doing a biography of her. But anyway.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Thank you. And I noticed a similarity between, I think Mike's got great impersonations, but I noticed an interesting similarity between Ray Romano, Sammy Davis Jr., and Harry Morgan.
Now, Mike, you know,
where did that come from?
Why is that a bad thing?
I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Why is that bad?
That's right. No, because you're the same guy that does that all the time.
Don't try to analyze it.
I can't give that guy the prize, though.
I hate that guy. He does that all the time.
Hey, guy, I just want to say, and I hope I'm not breaking the secret.
What's up?
You just busting your balls about some impression.
Yes, I understand. Yes, I felt like saying that.
You just came out with the F-ball.
Don't you ever feel like saying that?
Yeah, but only when I'm really, really...
When you're really mad. Yeah.
Really hot.
When you're really hot.
So you are really hot.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, we're doing great. You're the last caller on the phone scan.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
All right,
go ahead.
I didn't know if you guys saw it the other night, but the Christopher Reeves interview on one of the cable channels, he listed his favorite actor as Christopher Walken.
Really?
Really.
He really did. That's funny.
I swear, I watched with my own eyes and I started cracking up.
Hey, no, that's funny. Funny, and you're the last caller on the phone scan. You've got the DVD copy of Sex and the City, the complete fifth season. Vivid Visions from HBO Home Video. Thank you. Hold on just a second.
That could be a variation on the joke. I want to alert everybody about that.
We'll go into the wacky story file. Mike, and it has to do with, of course, everything on the show has to do with Elvis.
Yes.
We'll come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's a new year, time for you to get a new wireless company. Switch to Singular. Take advantage of the amazing deals Singular's offering right now.
You'll be delighted with Singular's rollover minutes.
Only Singular has rollover. Only Singular lets you keep your number and your unused air anytime minutes.
Sign up for Family Talk. And Singular will give you 500 bonus rollover minutes to share. Add a line for $9.99 per line per month on select plans starting at just $39.99 a month.
They're working on the problem with my wife.
I'm so glad they finally got in touch with her.
Nationwide long distance. Well, no, they didn't. But maybe they will through these commercials.
Yeah.
Nationwide long distance included, Mike. How about that?
Singular has the newest phones for the new year, like the Motorola V400. It's only $149.99 after a $50 mail-in rebate. Got the built-in camera, picture caller ID, voice data, cool ringtones, and it plays all the MP3s that I love. And they're all classical.
God knows that I just want
to be able to say with pride, certain restrictions apply. See the singular wire store for details.
WJFK.
I hate lying to you people.
The Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Like you won't hear it.
What is your reaction to the comment that you are just a flash in the pan?
Maybe they're right. Nobody knows. In fact, if I knew, I would be a mastermind. I'm not.
The Don and Mike Show.
We're going to have to ditch this, Rob.
What?
Everything you're picking is too up-tempo. It's got to be like funeral classical music.
Rob's playing popular classical hits.
Broadcasting in black and white as an Infinity cost-cutting measure. The Don and Mike Show.
See, the whole thing is the ratings came out today, and not that I don't think that the ratings are accurate. As a matter of fact, that's the furthest. Like, the system is not flawed and is not inaccurate. It's
right.
It's true that the third most popular radio station in all of Washington, D.C., is the classical station.
Right.
It's true.
Surprised you didn't know that. It's true, and may I be the first to say good afternoon.
The ratings came out today, and we're letting it influence our show.
Good afternoon.
Everybody's taking it up the poop from the WGMS, and I consider myself a bit of a radiophile.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me today, I know, shocking, Rob.
That's amazing.
They said, what's the dial position?
Uh-huh.
And I said,
did you know?
No.
I don't know. I don't know either.
I don't know.
Everyone else seems to.
I really
don't know.
We're the last.
But I am changing my name. My name will henceforth be Hugh Hamilton.
Mike, here's the deal now. Rob, I need you on the microphone very quickly before we bring this guy on. This is Elvis stuff. Now, here's... Ah. I want to give you the front on this story and then the legwork that Rob did.
All right.
Elvis fans who want to own a piece of history soon will be able to own something. Later this month, there's a company that owns the master tape to Elvis's Sun Sessions.
Mm. You know, in Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, they're taking these tapes and they're cutting them into 2-inch strips.
Oh, so this isn't music. This is the actual tape itself?
Yeah. Hold on. Now, wait. It gets more. The tape snippets, the 2-inch strip of tape, uh-huh. which, for all you know, could be somebody going, you know, test one, two, because it's old, allegedly from Elvis's first recording session.
Right.
Your 2 inches of tape will be placed on a plaque, which we've seen and is plenty cheesy, and sold for $495 each.
Sure.
Mike Esposito is the man.
Is he related to Joe Esposito?
He is not.
Ah.
The music on the tape is preserved, but the original master is so badly deteriorated that they said if you happen to take this tape and try to play it, mm-hmm. somehow, it would instantly burst into flame.
Wow.
And now here...
That makes sure people don't play it.
That's before right. we talk to this guy and just tell him what an evil bastard he is... I had Rob do some math. I said, okay.
I love math.
Given that there are these reels of tape that allegedly have Elvis recordings on them, and they're going to take the reels of tape and cut the little pieces of recording tape into pieces of 2-inch strips.
Right.
Rob, do the math.
All right, I'll go through this quickly. By my records, Elvis did 19 songs at Sun Studios.
Okay.
There are 7 alternate cuts that are known to exist, resulting in a total of 26 recordings.
Okay.
And let's just, for the sake of estimation, say each song was 2.5 minutes long.
Yeah, let's say that it really is the master tape.
Yeah,
right?
And it's 2.5 minutes. Some were shorter, some were longer, but right. we'll use 2.5 as the average. This results in 65 minutes of music, or 3,900 seconds. Now, let's assume further that they use the industry standard of 15 inches per second today.
Right, right.
Okay, this would require 58,500 inches of tape, which would yield 29,252 inches, 2-inch pieces of tape.
Yeah.
So, at $495 per 2-inch segment,
yes.
this would yield $14,478,750. Please keep in mind this does not include dead tape between songs, or the tape at the beginning or the end of the reel that is traditionally blank.
That's good for another $2 million.
I'm guessing that the blank tape will also be sold.
Oh,
also,
sure.
as noted above, these figures do not reflect outtakes, mistakes, and fooling around.
So Rob's estimate, bottom
wow.
line, if this guy sells out...
And he sold just the songs.
Right.
These little 2-inch pieces of tape, he stands to make between $14 and $16 million.
Plus shipping and handling, no doubt.
That's TPP, right.
baby.
Let's talk to him now. Here on All Things Elvis, from his website, elvismastertape.com, here is Mike Esposito. Mike.
Mike. Oh, good afternoon, Don and Mike.
Hi, Mike. Hey, dude, how you doing? Well, listen, we're huge Elvis fans. We just did our Elvis birthday show last week.
Thank you very much.
We have the Elvis tribute show coming up. I cannot imagine a better gift than these 2-inch snippets of tape that you're offering.
Will there be a certificate of authenticity?
Yes, in fact, there will be. It will be authenticated by Tony Bon Jovi, a well-known recording engineer from the Bon Jovi success.
Johnny Bon Jovi?
From the John Bon Jovi success, yes.
Oh, from Johnny Bon Jovi. You said Tony.
Well, Tony Bon Jovi. Well,
is Tony Bon Jovi related to John Bon Jovi?
Power Station, yes.
What?
A well-known engineer, Tony Bon Jovi.
But is he related to John Bon Jovi?
Yes, absolutely.
My guess is his friends call him Johnny Bon Jovi.
Johnny Bon Jovi, is he like Johnny Bon Jovi's cousin?
That's exactly right.
So these pieces of tape, these 2-inch strips that you're selling, and incidentally, sign me up for at least 2, maybe 3. $495 each. I've seen the plaques. They're beautiful.
How are your advance sales?
The advance sales are going well, and everyone seems to love the concept. You know, I have to say that we're preserving each individual snippet of tape in a Mylar Lucite frame.
Oh, good.
Because the tape was actually disintegrating
That's plastic, right?
Each plaque, correct, on each
plastic.
Individual.
Mylar Lucite is kind of a fancy word for plastic, though, isn't it?
Well, that my good
well,
college
it is,
guy.
But the Mylar itself has actually been designed to preserve the tape.
Oh, okay.
There you go with that education again.
Sorry about that, Don.
All I know is that as an Elvis fan, I want a piece of history.
That's right.
If I was now...
Okay, sign me up, too.
I know that you said here in something that we received that it might burst into flame. If I was to get one, and I'm planning on getting 3 of these, if I was to get one of them and put some leader tape on one end and leader tape on the other end and run it through an old reel-to-reel tape machine...
Because you'd have, like, 6 inches of tape.
What would I hear?
You're actually going to hear seconds of the recording sessions from the Elvis 1954 5.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
So you really could do that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if 100 people that purchased the tape were to link the tapes together, you know, you
but
would...
What about me with just my $495 that I pay?
Well, Don, it would be $495 per 2-inch piece of tape.
Well, I'm only...
No, better,
all right, well, I'm buying 3 of them, though.
Right.
I think what we're going to attempt to do is actually get the music license from RCA so that you can, in fact, listen to the music that's on the tape.
Wow.
Is there any discernible odor with these tapes?
Discernible, I'm sorry. I can't.
Odor.
Odor.
After all,
smell,
these,
aroma.
After all these years, you know, water damage.
The tape.
Well, there was some water damage on the box that was stored in.
Yeah.
But the tape itself, because of the oxides on the tape, it's oxidizing. And in effect, it's rusting.
Mm.
The tape is rusting.
Mike, that we've given your website a plug here. ElvisMasterTape.com. The price is reasonable with the plaque, $495 plus shipping and handling. Let me just say, you bastard, that what you're doing is, I mean, you're a con artist, you're a rip-off artist. How the hell do I know that you don't have some old copy of a Daffy Duck cartoon or a kid talking into a microphone going, test 1-2, test 1-2, and you put it on a plaque and you sell it for $500. God, do you realize that if you sell as much tape as you have, that you would yield at least $14,478,750? Every second...
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Well, that's 2 days
ago. Hello, are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah, we're there.
Yes, every second of tape, blank or not, we'll yield you a profit of $3,712.
Wow.
You bastard.
Have you done the math?
Now listen, let's talk from one person who uses Elvis to another. I'm a user. I got him on the show twice a year. We do the whole thing.
Have you figured out the number that you'd realize if you sold all the tape you have?
But what dope is going to buy a piece of tape?
Is he there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm very surprised at what you're saying here on the air. Obviously, the tape has been forensically tested over the course of the last several years.
Have you
worked with the acknowledged experts with RCA as well as with Graceland on
But have you thought about the profit end of it? How much money, if you sold all the tape you're going to do this with, how much money you'd make?
Of course he has.
Of course.
Mr. Dunn.
Well, come on.
There's no question.
Dude, listen, what I was trying to say to
you. Our entertainment budget for the year to buy the tape. There's no question about that.
Dude, here's the thing. What I was trying to explain to you. I'm an Elvis exploiter. I do it so people listen to our show. You're an Elvis exploiter. But you're an Elvis exploiter that's taken it to a whole new level. I'm doing it just so people will listen to our show.
Well, in a way, do you salute this guy then?
In a roundabout way, yes. Even though I called him a bastard, yes.
Well, I think we both called each other bastards over the years.
I think he's going to be a rich bastard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just imagining, though, the type of trailer trash that you're going to get the $500, and they're going to get this thing, they're going to put it next to their statue of Dale Earnhardt, and put it to their gigantic Mr. Peanut stand-up.
Ben's going to... Graceland will be there to receive the first plaque when we make the official cut in New York City.
Has Graceland signed off on this, the Elvis
they
people?
They certainly have.
Mm-hmm. And how much...
of course.
Would you do us a favor and just...
There's money in it for them.
Give me the number that if you sold every bit that you want to make this, how much money would you make?
That
would have to be up to the accountants to determine that, Don.
But give me a rough.
Just tell me if our guesstimate was $14 million.
Does that match yours?
Let me say this: if we were to put the tape up to auction at Christie's, it would be worth several million dollars. There's no question about that.
The tape, the master tape itself.
If you didn't cut it into
correct.
Little 2-inch pieces,
mm-hmm. Is there any way of
correct.
Preserving the tape and?
Well, the tape has already been digitally preserved. We've made copies of it. There's no question that if the music, whatever, have to be repressed or remade.
So you're saying
there
the tape?
Copies of it.
You're saying the tape itself, if you sold it at Christie's, but cutting it into the 2-inch strips. How much do you think, really, at the end of the day, if this was?
Are we close to our guess was 14 million?
We said 14 million.
You're going to say it's going to go for millions if you sell it just as is at
right.
an auction. But if you chop it up into 2-inch strips,
do you think could you realize at least 10 million out of this?
I'm not really sure what the total number will be.
Well, but how about a ballpark?
I would say somewhere in the 5 to 7 range.
Well, that's all right, Mama.
That's right. That's all right.
All right for you.
That's all right. So let's say that I buy this.
Mama,
let me see how much I'd get. If I bought the $500, I'd go.
No, you wouldn't get that much.
I wouldn't get that much?
No.
How much would I get, Robbie?
Well, Mike, do you know the speed? Is it 7.5 inches per second or 15 inches per second of the original tape?
15 IPS tape.
15?
15 IPS, so your calculations might be accurate, Robbie.
You get about 1/7 of a second.
All right, so here's what you get for $500. Maybe that much.
Yeah, roughly.
That's it. That's good enough for me.
There
perfect.
You go. Once again, $500? Oh, that's great. Give me another
one. Of course.
You gave me some free there. Here's another $500.
$2,000, though. But of course, Don, it's not to listen to. It's to put next to the statue.
Next to Dale and Mr. Peanut.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, your website is ElvisMasterTape.com. Dude, in a weird way, we're saluting you. I mean, you've actually taken what I guess you could go to Christie's and make a lot of money with, but mm-hmm. you've done what I would do. You've chopped it up into little 2-inch pieces. And
how much did the tape cost you?
Well, let's just say we spent our entertainment budget for the year, and it was quite a bit of money.
When you say your entertainment budget, what do you mean by that?
For the company, I'm saying that it cost quite a bit of money.
I tell you what, Mike.
So you do a lot of entertaining with your company?
Yes, we do.
Mike, at the time of his death, and this will be we'll play for a free plug right now, even though we've already hit your website and said that we endorse this. The cutting of
the 2-inch pieces of tape, mm-hmm. yes.
At the time of his death, what was the weight of Elvis's colon? At the time of his death.
How much did his colon weigh?
We have the answer.
I have no clue.
But why don't you guess? It's worth a free plug.
You get a free plug if you come within 3 pounds.
Well, it's certainly not his tooth. I don't know. I'm going to guess a pound.
A pound?
I'm
oh.
sorry, you're way off
oh,
on that one.
40 pounds. It was impacted and chalky.
40 pounds.
Impacted and chalky.
That's from the Elvis autopsy that we read on the air when we were doing that same thing.
But thank you for your time.
And good luck with the venture.
And let me just say, often having guys like you on the show makes me feel a little bit better about myself mm-hmm. and what I'm doing out every day.
It really does. Because, yeah, I say mean things to people and often wish I hadn't lost my temper, but God, at least I'm not fleecing people out of $14 million with some worthless freaking tape. I mean, if they don't like my show, they can turn the radio off.
Mm-hmm.
But good luck. ElvisMasterTape.com. I'll take three. Thanks for being on the show. TCB, baby.
Bye, Mike. Mike, you there?
Mike?
Yes, I'm still with you, Don.
Okay. All right. Thanks, dude. Hold on, please.
All right. Very good.
All right, Rob.
Let's see how it went.
Go ahead.
Sounds trainable.
Mike! Hello?
Did he hang up?
Mike!
He's just slow to answer.
He's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, that was strange at the end there. I don't know what was going on.
He had all those pauses. He was pausing always during that entire thing.
Wow.
He was doing calculations in his head.
There you go.
Hey, Rob, good on the math, though. Yeah. Man, is it good?
$14 million.
Is it good to be prepared with all of that stuff?
Yeah.
I said to Rob today, how much does he stand to make? I'll get back to you.
$14 million.
$14 million. All right. That's the Elvis guy.
Wow. That's serious money.
Listen, here we go. For us, serious money, $100.
Right.
Who doesn't want $100?
Okay.
We got it for you now. We're bringing back a game that we've not played by my records in well over at least 3 weeks.
Wow.
No, we've not played this in a long time. The guess the Whoopi game. However, in honor of Nick and Jessica, who are on the cover of Entertainment Weekly magazine, and I hate it when they refer to them as the hot, happening Hollywood couple, and then underneath in parentheses it says, they're not really stupid. That they're getting the last laugh on us the whole way.
Right.
Sure. Anyway, listen, they're the ideal couple. We're looking for newlywed couples to play this game. And you don't need your wife or your husband with you. Here's the deal. If you're a newlywed, which is when you're in that, you know, that getting to know you phase with your mom and your dad-in-law,
deluded.
Call us right now at 877-365-3636. What we do is call your mother and father-in-law, whichever one of them is at home, and we ask them the last time they had intercourse.
Yes.
And if you guess the last time that they had intercourse, a full straight-on man or woman intercourse, you win $100.
Cool.
That's it. But you've got to nail it the way he nailed it. You know what I mean? The way that your mother, the way your father-in-law nailed it.
Normally a very distasteful thing to think of for most sons and daughters. But
when you've just gotten married and you're just getting to know the family.
Absolutely.
But you got to be thinking about it. You're looking at them. At least at this point, if you're a newlywed, they're relatively young. They probably still bang a little bit.
Sure.
And who knows? Maybe you've had that wandering eye for your mother-in-law.
You never know.
Maybe you've had that thought. Mom and daughter together.
Maybe the daughters have had the eye for the father-in-law.
So anyway, you call us, and then if you can guess when the last time your mother and father-in-law had intercourse, you win $100.
Wow. It's that easy.
But to make it cute, we call it Guess the Whoopi.
Nice. Guess the Whoopi.
I wanted to call it Guess the F.
Yeah. Yeah, but of course we can't use that word.
They wouldn't let that by.
I don't get that.
Guess the F. Who F'd? Phone number is 877-365-3636. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Listen to the Don and Mike Show for your chance to win a trip for two to Super Bowl XXXVIII, courtesy of AOL for broadband. With AOL top speed making your web pages load up to 2 times faster. And it's only on the Don and Mike Show.
I should have listened to the kids instead of my big, dumb wife. Oh, I shouldn't have called her that. Bite my tongue, bite my tongue. Ow!
The Don and Mike Show. They're guys. Don and Mike.
Here we go.
This will be short-lived, I promise. If you're just getting in the car. You don't live in Washington, D.C. You didn't hear the beginning of the show today.
Right.
Even if you do live in the D.C. metro, it still won't make sense to you. I just tell you, got the ratings. And, you know, this happens. We got the ratings from Sacramento. They were great.
Yeah.
We got the ratings for Washington. Not so great.
Hmm.
I mean, in our, you know, men 25, 54, adults 25 to 54, all that jazz. Yeah. We were number one. We're doing fine. But in the overall ratings, we were down.
Hmm.
All the shows on our station were down. Everybody that does a radio show was down.
Yep.
And the reason is that a classical station
came in number 3.
Overall.
Yeah, beat it.
I mean, not just on our show, they kicked our ass. But out of nowhere, a classical music station has come to dominate the Washington, D.C. Arbitron ratings.
That's right.
And I don't want to say the rating system is flawed or inaccurate.
Now, you're not saying that.
What I'm saying is I'm reading the information that I'm getting. And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Classical music is the latest rage.
It is, Don.
We hear you.
It's come back. It's come back since the 1700s when it was really hot.
Knew it would.
Now listen, as I mentioned, our ratings overall, the beauty pageant, the 12 plus, it was 4.6 to 3.7. It's 3.7.
Wow.
We're 10th place. But in demo, you know what we look for, we're fine. We're number one in all these men 25-54.
As usual.
Men 18 plus. We're number one in all these categories. But even as someone who can look at this and say, it was a good book for us,
mm-hmm.
I just throw it out. Throw it out. How can you possibly believe any ratings?
Can I recommend a good movie to you?
Yeah.
Amadeus.
How could you possibly take the ratings seriously when the classical station is number three?
Would you like another movie recommendation?
And I'm going to dumb it down even a little more.
Okay. How about The Competition?
Okay. This is Washington, D.C., okay?
Uh-huh.
Chocolate City we're living in. I refer to it affectionately as Chocolate City.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, right. Here's how the ratings normally go. PGC, KYS, MMJ.
Right. How about Mr. Holland's Opus?
Now, the classical station, according to these ratings,
mm-hmm.
guys, you think we feel bad today? We're laughing about it. What do you think they're doing at WKYS?
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. Now, we've been beat by the white man before, but never, never have we been beaten by...
But we're not saying it's a fluke.
By classical music.
They're smart. They're sampling.
We're not saying it's a fluke.
No, we're not. And we are not saying that the Arbitron rating system is
wrong. Well, I don't even know that one. Tales from the Vienna Woods.
It's flawed or inaccurate because it's not. It's not. It's just the way that it is.
Yep.
Classical music is it. You'll be reading about it in the newspaper, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big story that I don't know where a classical station is the number three rated station.
Help! The sexy tale of Johann Strauss.
Ah, wonderful. That's, yeah,
enough
that's
of that. Let's play Guess the Whoopee.
Yeah.
We got a girl on the phone. A girl.
A girl.
A girl. 877-365-3636. Why don't I give that out? You would know it already. You called already.
Yeah.
For Guess the Whoopee. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are
you? We're doing great, thanks. Where are you from?
I am from Clarksville, Maryland.
And you're listening on which station?
On WJFK.
Right on. How come you're not listening to the classical station?
I have access to both.
Just taking a break?
Mm-hmm. Taking a break.
Very good.
Yeah. You know, every once in a while, too much of that Mozart.
Right.
And Monet and Monet.
Well, Monet was an artist, a painter.
Mm-hmm. Impression. Well, no, there's a line in Ocean's 11.
Right.
When Danny Ocean says, and I never understood the difference
Manet.
Between...
They're both painters, though. Manet and Monet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Manet and Monet.
That's
right. Manet, Monet, and Jack.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, how long have you been married?
So we're familiar with that classical music on this show.
Well, we got to be. It's kicking our ass in the race.
Well, we're all going to study.
We're going to learn. Right. Yeah.
Your opponent.
We're right.
Doing the work.
We're all going to have homework tonight.
Yep.
I got news for you. We're not the only ones. I mean, we're probably the only ones to be honest enough about this. But let me just say, WMMJ, WMAL, WJZW, WWDC, WBIG, WMZQ, WASH, WARW, WIHT, WHUR, WRQX.
All got beaten?
HFS, yes. All of them beaten by the classical station.
Mm-hmm. Holy Beethoven.
Oh, that's another
one we can watch. Oh, that's about a dog.
How can you take this seriously? And don't forget Beethoven's second.
And third.
And foolish.
And I think fourth.
Probably.
I think I have. I think my kids watch Beethoven's fourth.
Of course.
Foolish me, when I saw Beethoven's second, I thought it was about a BM.
Yeah. You thought it was Beethoven number two.
Well, like, I remember back in the day when the somebody in the Big Apple band had a fifth of Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Walter
Right?
That's it.
Sure.
And they just was a rap record that just sampled that. So everything old is new again.
That's right.
And you know, he was deaf.
What's that?
Hey! Anyway, Lisa, how long have you been married?
How long have I been? 5 years.
5 years?
That still counts.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we asked for
no, not really. No, that's not
no,
newlywed.
You know it isn't. No, yeah. Hold on a second.
Trust me on that one.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
There used to be some great joke that I would do when I played that record about a fifth of Beethoven and something about... It had something to do with excrement.
It didn't have anything to do with alcohol?
No.
A fifth?
No, it was nothing like
that.
It was
a great movement.
Yeah, it was his
thing. That was his movement. Thank you, yeah. Nice movement.
Mm-hmm. You were probably there when he made that joke.
I was.
Steve.
Yeah?
How long have you been married?
I'm not married.
Well, no.
Perhaps we didn't make it clear. Greg, did we explain the circle of trust to you?
Might as well be.
All right, we're going to play Guess the Whoopee, but it has to be with newlyweds this time.
Yeah.
Married people.
You know, studies have shown that listening to classical music makes you smarter.
Shortens your attention span.
How's that?
See, Steve, it's got to be newlyweds because that's why it's funny, dude.
Legally married like 2 years or less, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Or even better, a year.
Well, yeah. I've been living with my girlfriend for more than a year.
Or even better, if Britney Spears would just call, she'd make this whole thing beautiful.
Mm-hmm. She'd be terrific.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And we can find out when Mrs. Spears got speared. Goodbye.
I want to tell you.
Don and Mike.
I know Mrs. Spears gets speared.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'd like to request some Tchaikovsky, please.
Oh, shut up.
Good afternoon.
Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show. Stop putting salt in our wound. We're trying to play Guess the Whoopee. Hello, Don and Mike.
Good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon. You're listening to the Don and Mike Show. This, in Washington, is WJFK. Talk it up.
Yeah, I can talk those up. Here's Mike. Mike, Don and Mike Show. Hello. How long have you been married?
8 months.
That's it. That works.
Perfect.
Now, you're playing for $100 in cash. You've already won something.
That counts.
Eight months. What's your bride's name?
Jennifer.
And her mom and dad, what are their first names?
Joe and Leslie.
Joe and Leslie. And now just between you and me. Just between us girls. How old are they first?
Late 40s.
Late 40s, so they're still very active.
Late 40s. You ever at any time, and I promise I won't pass this along to her, but at any time, you ever think about Leslie? I mean, you ever, when you're meeting her, maybe at a pool party, or sort of wake up one morning, you in a house coat, you ever just wonder what's under there, what's in there?
Is
Leslie an attractive woman?
Oh, yeah, she's very pretty.
Mm-hmm. All right, and obviously you're attracted to her daughter, so that's why
Sure.
Yeah.
Would you, this is not the game, but if you were given free rein, would you have sex with her mother?
You're
free. Yes. We appreciate your honesty.
All right, now this helps us to help define your answer, because you've described
and you called it with the newlyweds, you know, being younger, having younger parents, that right. You know, there's probably going to be more activity.
Who's the celebrity that your mother-in-law most resembles, do you think?
I would say Sybil Shepherd.
Sybil Shepherd.
Well,
fantastic.
Being on the spot and everything, that's the quickest thing I can think of.
How's her body? 1 to 10.
7.5.
Pretty strong.
That's pretty good.
Now, Joe, your father-in-law, you think he's tapping that thing?
yeah, I hope so.
you think they're active? Do they strike you as, are they affectionate around each other?
If he goes away and for a business trip, she always can't wait to get. She says, he's all mine tonight.
That's good. That's a good sign right there.
Proof. All right, well then.
If he's been on a recent business trip, that would be very good for you.
Here's what we need you to do now. You weren't screened. Were you screened? Did Joe get your number?
I just talked to him real quick.
All right, hold on just a second. Joe, grab the number.
All right, so Mike says Joe and Leslie are in their late 40s and very active. Right? Leslie is a Sybil Shepherd looking like.
With a body that's a 7.5.
Wow. With a body that just won't quit. She could go places.
I don't have to take this anymore. And we have other standbys here.
Good.
I notice now
I just like the way you ramped us all up for Joe and Leslie, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying to find out.
It'll be good.
Leslie, how you doing?
How you doing?
Okay, we got the number. We must have the number because he's back on hold. Let me see. Hey, did they ever come and get the phone number, Mike?
No.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
There you go.
That's right.
Hold on just a moment. My secretary will pick it right up. Bob, would you mind? Line three.
Mike.
We're screaming in the back room.
Yes, Joe and Leslie, you're listening.
All right, so we're going to... We actually even haven't asked Mike the question yet, is
we got a staff back there.
When the last time Joe and Leslie made whoopee was.
We got a couple guys back there, but I guess, I don't know, maybe...
Dominoes.
No. Maybe they're very into solitaire.
They're studying classical music.
You know what? That was the assignment.
Yeah.
And now we have to ask Mike the question.
I will, but I wanted to make sure we have the number first. All right, you dial it up, Rob.
Okay.
While I ask the question.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Mike, Robbie has the number for your in-laws. Oh, where do they live, incidentally? What city?
Seaford, Delaware.
Okay. Joe and Leslie, when is the last time you think that they did it, did the nasty? Guess the whoopee. And do you think, now, before you answer.
What's the window?
I was just going to say.
One day.
Should we give them one day either way?
One day either way.
Mm-hmm. That's extremely generous.
Well, you know,
they're
young. Yeah, and you know what? No, they're too young, Don. I think he's got to nail it. He's got to nail the day. That's the way we play it. If they're over 70, then we give them almost
a month.
Yeah,
you got to get it on the day of.
Right.
So what's your guess? The last time?
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Well, I'm just, now, wait a minute, Mike. What I'm doing is the way we played the game for years.
The rules.
That's okay.
And listen, really, I'll even compromise because I think a day is too much, but I'll give you 12 hours either way. Mike, if you say...
There you go, trying to be the win the listener over again.
Oh, yeah, because I'm the listener's friend, Mike.
12 hours, that generosity. We don't narrow it down to time. We never narrow it down to time.
You just got
to
guess.
He's got to get the
date. Just give us a date. When do you think is the last time you gave her the high hard one?
I'll say Saturday evening.
Saturday night. Always Saturday night.
I'm gonna say no because there was football on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, you know, maybe I don't know. I know that I was too emotionally spent, even for sex.
I would go with Sunday morning
after those games.
That's good.
I don't even know these people. I'm gonna guess they haven't done it for a week.
I disagree. I think they've definitely been active in the last week.
All right, Mike, hold on a second. Who is it we have on the line?
Leslie.
Oh, it always works.
Lovely Leslie.
It's the mother-in-law. Hi, Leslie.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the Don and Mike Show. Thank you for joining us. We have a prize for you just for being on our show here. Do you like the Sex and the City?
Do I like it?
The TV show?
Yes, the TV show.
No, that's not... She wouldn't like that.
She what?
We've got, incidentally, your son-in-law, Mike, is on the line. Say hi to Mike, Leslie.
Hi, Mike.
Listen, hey, Mom, how you doing?
Leslie, you've won the the box set of DVD, Sex and the City, the complete fifth season. That is from HBO.
Yes, unfortunately, this is not a negotiation.
It is a simple game we're playing here with your son-in-law, Mike, and he has a question. He's already given us his answer, and we need your answer. He now needs to ask you a question.
Yes, if you match Mike's answer, you're going to win a prize for him now.
Now, Mike, you can't, lead her on or anything. You just flat out ask her the last. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're playing a game, and I got to ask you, when was the last time you and Dad had made love?
When the last time we made love?
Yes.
Yep, that's right.
See, the name of the game is Guess the Whoopee.
Guess the Whoopee, and now we have to find out from you, Leslie, when indeed was the last time you and your wonderful husband, Joe,
when you had intercourse,
made Whoopee?
There is no time limit on this, Leslie, and let me tell you that your son-in-law came up with an answer immediately.
Yes, he has a theory.
And I told him I wouldn't say specifics, but let me just say, you must be a lovely mother.
He was very complimentary.
Yes.
Very flattering. Said you look like Cybill Shepherd.
I suppose.
Well, so now that we've given you some time, if you had time to think about it, when indeed was the last time you and Joe did it?
Okay, today's what?
Today would be Tuesday.
Saturday!
Winner!
She got it right.
Yes,
is that what you said, Mike?
I guess Saturday, because I put you guys out to dinner.
We do, in fact, have a winner. And, Mike, that means for you we have $100.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Thanks,
Leslie.
Yes?
Understand that you've just got a rocket body. Mike tells us that, we asked him to rate your body 1 to 10. He said you were a 7.5. That's a compliment.
Good. He was very complimentary of you, Leslie.
He better be. He knows what's good for him.
There you go. No.
Let me put him on hold for just a second. Mike, thank you. Hold on. Thanks for listening.
I bless you.
Enjoy your money.
Are you going to betray him now?
Sure.
Are you going? You're not going to betray him.
Hey, listen. Just between us, Leslie.
Yes.
He's thought about you.
He's terrible.
I asked him. I said I wouldn't, but I can't not. I have to tell you, he's thought about you.
He's what?
He's thought about you that way.
Where is your honor? Where is your honor?
You know where my honor is in? 10th place in the ratings.
Yeah, okay.
Behind the classical station.
I'm counting a lot more lying and cheating during this book.
Yeah! Yeah. Anyway, here's my question to you.
Okay.
You ever thought about him like that?
Mike?
Yeah. You ever seen him out by the pool?
Do you find Mike to be an attractive guy?
Oh, my son-in-law?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, he's Italian. What do you expect?
He's Italian. There's a yes. No. It's a capital Y.
So there is something between the two of you?
No.
Unspoken?
No, only mother and son-in-law.
Okay.
All right. Well,
Leslie.
You're very nice. Thank you for your time, Leslie. Do you like that? Do you like that TV show, Sex and the City?
You want me to be honest with you? I have never seen it.
Oh, well, this will be a chance for you to see so much of it.
Great. Let's make sure we give her the episode.
You have a box set.
Give her the episode about oral. God, you know what I think?
You'll be able to watch it on a Saturday all day.
Let me ask you. Would you rather have the Sex and the City box set DVD, or would you rather have the DVD copy of Body by Jake's Strength Training 101 for Women?
The Body by Jake.
Body by Jake.
I do aerobics every day, so any more, I'd love it.
Courtesy of Ventura Distribution, sculpt the body you've always wanted. All right. Listen, Leslie, I'm glad you got the prize you wanted. Thank you for your time.
Leslie, regarding that DVD from Jake, don't quit.
Okay.
I find you to be intoxicating. And if I may ask you, Lady Leslie,
uh-huh.
When you work aerobically, do you get all sweaty?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you? Do you?
Oh, God.
Hey, thanks. Hold
you
on.
Guys are bad.
Yes, yeah, we are.
I know we are. Thank you. Hold on.
Sure.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Okay, sure.
Leslie, did
Bye-bye.
You get a chance to say hi to our newsman, Buzz Burbank?
Okay.
Hello, Leslie.
Hello.
That's good enough, Buzz. Thank you, right. Leslie.
Thanks, Leslie.
You're welcome.
Thank you, buddy. And that's how we play Guess the Whoopee.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
You know,
that was a good one. They were good people with that game.
You and I can try the sexy talk, but you know the man that owns it.
Right.
He's right over in that newsroom over there.
Hi, Buzz.
Hey, Leslie.
Shut up. We'll be back.
This
less than 10.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
And why doesn't the press search harder when it involves pro-lifers? They certainly do when it's pro-choicers.
It's King. We're back. We're back?
Yeah.
Here for this Green Bay. Oh, next is Green Bay. I lost it there for a minute.
You know, they're quite willing to kill off nature, you know, for a cheap buck, and then, you know, and then just point the finger at somebody else for why the jobs disappeared. Hello?
Yep. I'm sorry. Don't want to rephrase that.
Falls Church, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry. There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Don and Mike?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning. They're on the afternoon. And I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, in fact, the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning and totally destroyed them. But, you could doctor tape.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I've got a unique dilemma. This is Larry King. I love Don and hate Mike. What do I do with my radio? Hi, this is Larry King, and I never listen to Don and Mike because I'm bright, intelligent, lively, and desire information. I go anywhere I can, but not here.
Right, got you, Larry.
No, they're not retarded.
No.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
So many things going on here. Larry King segment, obviously the classical thing. We've covered that.
Yes.
I also want to mention we're giving away a trip to the Super Bowl, courtesy of AOL.
Wow.
Round trip airfare to Houston Hotel, tickets to the NFL Experience, a breakfast, a daily hotel, airport transfers, courtesy of AOL Top Speed, AOL for broadband. AOL Top Speed makes your web pages load faster on dial up to 5 times faster and 2 times faster on broadband.
Hmm.
We're giving away the Super Bowl trip this year next Thursday, and it's going to be an in-studio contest.
All right.
Here's the deal. It's going to be a talent show, but it's not going to be one of our freak talent shows.
No.
It's going to be a real talent show. Singing, dancing, being a comedian, magic, juggling, whatever.
Cool.
All nude. I know we're the only ones that'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Tough.
All nude.
To me, funny.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Girl coming in to sing like an opera song, and we'll let her sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, and we're going to judge on the best talent.
Not the body.
The best talent.
Yeah.
But everybody.
Will the body play any role whatsoever.
It may. You know how the judging goes.
Of course.
You know how the judging
goes. Judging is judging. It's always subjective.
Judging goes. And listen, God knows with these ratings we just got, they tell us that our male domination continues. Mm-hmm. The males love us. I just have to say, the contest is only for women.
Mm-hmm.
The contest is only for women.
Right. But of course, the women are going to win a trip for two.
To the Super Bowl, right.
So hopefully, you know, and then perhaps the woman has a significant other. Another woman or another guy.
We'll be talking about this plenty in days to come. But just know, next Thursday on the show.
All nude talent show.
The all new real talent show.
The all nude real talent show.
Really?
Name of that. The all nude real talent show.
Tomorrow. I love you. Tomorrow. The point is. She's naked.
Guy walks into a bar. Hey, I got breasts.
And what, you know, juggling, you know, the magic, singing, dancing.
You know, this is the first I've heard of this, and may I just take this opportunity to say thank you.
And, you know, even a dramatic reading.
Brilliant.
You know, if,
brilliant.
If you're a thespian or a lesbian thespian, whatever the deal, you want to.
But I, you know, let me just say.
For who the bell tolls, it tolls for
a dramatic reading. I vote for dance. I'd like to see some creative dance.
Mike, dance works. Girls, start thinking about it now.
High energy dance.
High energy aerobic style dancing.
It's next Thursday on the show. The all-nude real talent show.
Maybe someone could bring in one of those little trampolines.
All-nude real talent show. Girls only to win a vacation, a trip to the Super Bowl. Now, Larry King, shout out. On Larry King, who
hello?
Just hates
Let's
us.
Take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of
Elizabeth
on
Ibis.
The air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right?
It's my
Don
favorite of all time right here. The awkward.
I think that's where they originated from, you know.
Yeah. Right. Las Vegas, hello.
They both hate us so much.
These come from East Coast Bob.
Right.
He's got him on his website, eastcoastbob.com. He's called Larry King about a million times. we're building up to a Larry King thing. Here's the latest one, the one he did, I guess, over the weekend or Friday night. So we just got it on Monday when we came in.
Esparto, California, hello.
Larry King, my question is for Joe Allen. Joe Allen, from where you're sitting now, does it look like Larry paints his bald spot that Don and Mike show?
What?
It's a very intelligent question, sir. I know Don and Mike, and of course, one of them fell out of the crib as a child, as I remember when they were in Washington. I think the other one pushed him. I think they know each other since childhood, but I have no idea what he's talking about.
What?
But a very good question, sir. It shows that you're really keen on things. I'm glad you waited an hour to ask it.
That's the angry Larry.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the best that he pushed Larry's butt.
So it continues, and now here's today's tribute to Larry.
Oh, good.
And I thank a longtime friend, Mark Weiss. How you doing, Mark? I'm sorry I've not called you. It's just that's the way I am. You know, I mean... I haven't talked to the guy in 20 years, but I just want to say hi to him.
Why does that name sound familiar to me? Because record guy?
Yes, he was, and I knew him BM. I knew him before Mike, and I knew him, of course, AM after Mike. You knew him as well. He used to be one of the guys that we would go out and get drunk with. And then the record company that he was working for would pay for it. He had sent me a while ago, Rob, what's that WPGC site?
No.
Anyway, come up with it.
I will.
For anybody that's a historian of Washington radio, Mark Weiss, who I guess now it says works at a marketing and communications company, he works in that industry, sent me a letter saying you should go to this website. It has a bunch of old tapes.
Isn't it AM-FM Morningside or Morningside AM-FM? If you Google Morningside, I bet it comes up.
Anyway, it's a website to the old fabulous WPGC. Which in its day was, you know, I was lucky enough to work. It was a great radio station. Has a bunch of old tapes, including some old tapes of me and the other guys. So, Mark Weiss sent that along. I never mentioned that on the air because it was kind of self-serving. But I just got away with mentioning it now. He sends this one along. I was having a nice trip on U.S. Air until I came upon this article on page 33. You'll love this. Get a load of this. My best regards, Mark. And it is from USA Airways attaché, the free magazine you get when you
go. U.S. Airways, right.
Oh, on U.S. Airways. Here you go, and this is from December 2003, so the most recent edition of this. The article, the headline says, Genius at Work.
Oh, boy.
That's the very first thing you see, Genius at Work.
Oh, no.
The Art of Conversation. The King of Talk says the key to getting someone to open up is being comfortable.
Be comfortable.
Now get ready. Here we go. Lay King. Oh, you found it. Yeah. What is it? But that's totally self-serving. Don't read it. What is it, Rob?
AM and FM Morningside .com, but don't mention it.
Don't go there.
Okay. Let's see. In 46 years of broadcasting, CNN's Larry King has talked with presidents. This is BS. I mean, not that he hasn't, but, you know, it's the usual. Presidents, physicians, politicians, movie stars, blah, 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 blah. Larry King's most effective conversation took care of the took place with a tall blonde outside Tiffany in Beverly Hills. I saw her. She saw me, King says. I went to the store. She went around. I walked straight through. At the stairs into what now is a little shopping center. She was up there, and I said, we can't go on meeting like this. Okay, maybe you had to be there. The fact is, the line worked. The blonde, Sean, is now his wife and the mother of his two young sons. It's like the time King opened his interview to Sinatra with a question, why are you here?
Wow.
Genius.
He's good.
Which makes us ask, how does Larry King do it?
Yeah.
Meet Larry and you get your first clue. Uh-oh. The King you see on the air, nervous, spontaneous, secure, is pretty much the same King you see off the air. Right now, for instance, he's behind the desk at his corner office in the Hollywood CNN building, surrounded by city views and framed photos of friends. Do you remember one time we saw a picture of Larry King's office when he worked at CNN downtown? And he had one wall, a yes you not, and I got memorabilia, you do, everybody does. But it was more than a tribute to himself.
Right.
It was every person going from B-list celebrity to like you know those 12 guys that are running for president now?
Right.
Larry King would have his picture taken with all 12 guys.
And they'd all be up on the wall.
Individually, and they'd all be
this up on the wall. This is
my
wallpaper. Wallpaper of me.
let's see, meet King. He's the same guy. He's at his desk, surrounded by framed photos. He's 90 minutes away from a Larry King live interview with Liza Minnelli. Larry King has no briefing book, no tapes. He's not in makeup, and his usual suspenders and tie hangs from a doorknob. He's
naked. He's bare-assed.
He's telling stories about Mike Tyson, U2's Bono, and Jimmy Carter. He doesn't check his watch. In fact, he says, the most relaxed moment of my day is coming up in less than an hour and a half.
Of course. Liar.
This is part of the whole... Okay, here you go. He's sitting down with Bono. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. He's sitting down with Bono. Larry King
has never heard a U2 song, he claims.
There you go.
Now, I don't know how even somebody, even on the far
right. All right, I want to interject here because the book on him, and I knew a lot of people that worked over at Mutual when he did his radio show. This is the Larry spin.
Yeah, I know.
This is the big time Larry spin that he doesn't do any preparation.
Now, right.
Well, I don't doubt that that a reporter was in there for whatever publication this is and sat there and didn't see any prep work,
right.
But Larry, I have it on good authority that he does prep.
Someone does.
I would just say, though, that thing about...
Yeah, somebody does. That's a good point. Right.
Who doesn't know some song by U2? You couldn't sit Larry King down and play like the song, It's a Beautiful Day, ba-bam, ba-bam. Mm-hmm. He's heard it.
Sure, of course.
He's got to know it's U2.
I'm such a genius that I don't even know who I'm interviewing. Uh-huh.
So... He's wondering what he's going to ask them, because he's telling this reporter in this U.S. Airways article that he's never heard of U2. He's heard of them, but he's never heard them.
I'm going to do the interview without even hearing them.
So the opening question was, she writes later, when'd you get the name U2? So he's got Bono, and that's the first question he asks him.
There you go. Genius.
Genius. He hates the name U2, Larry King says after the interview. He says it was in an era when rock groups got stupid names. I got him to say that.
Wow.
Is that what he says?
Yes.
I got him to say that?
How does he do it?
Now I'm just going to read quotes from Larry's. A lot of what I do is inborn. I was always a good communicator. As a kid, I knew I was good. When I was 8 years old, bus drivers would talk to me. Cops would talk to me.
Wow.
And I was able to get people to respond to me.
Connect with me because I'm so pretty.
What about the rest of us? Stick to Larry King's suggestions, and you'll have a better time at your next cocktail party encounter. Or for talking to anyone under any circumstances.
Well, this is his whole rap, right? The art of conversation.
Yeah.
Number one. This is the one that pisses us off the most. Be curious.
Oh, that's his whole rap.
Isn't that every interview? I'm naturally curious.
That's his spin. That's his little bio.
Where'd you get the name U2? I'm so curious. Well, that's what you do. King is right when he says, you can't teach curiosity. Either you're interested in something or you're not.
He must love this interview, too. He must love this article. King is right.
Sure.
Let me see. Now, Larry King, here's the question. I'm going to summarize this paragraph she writes. She said... Larry King is great with conversation starters because he's so fantastic.
How'd you get the name?
Off the cuff. So she said to Larry King, you're at a dreaded industry happy hour party surrounded by seminar goers with name tags on. Larry King meets eyes and says, how long have you been here? Have you been here all day? Was the speaker any good? Who's not going to answer that?
Genius!
Larry King says, if you're sincerely curious, more people want to talk than don't.
Yeah, like he walks up to anybody and says that.
Rule number two.
He's so curious about anybody at a seminar.
Number two, follow through. At one party, Larry King deployed a simple test of listening ability. A PR guy came up to me and said, hey, Larry, how you doing? I said, I've got lung cancer. He said, great. So what's on the show tonight?
God.
It's an easy thing to...
What Larry didn't understand is when the guy said, great, he was listening.
Yeah. He meant it.
It's an easy thing to blow a brilliant opening. You can look around the room, think of the next clever thing you're about to say, or you can interrupt, finish your partner's sentence, or just be out to lunch. King does none of these. One of the best compliments ever paid to me was when Sinatra said, I feel when I'm with you, and again, someone who's dead, so really impossible to get...
to check the quote?
Frank Sinatra's take right. on this. But
Frank, did you really say that? F no.
Allegedly, he says, and Sinatra's mentioned a lot in this article. Sinatra said to me, I feel when I'm with you, there's no camera, no mic. You make them disappear, because I know you're listening to what I'm saying. Could you be, now listen, hold on. I'm a Frank Sinatra fan.
Yeah.
Frank's the man. There's no way that Frank Sinatra, freaking Frank Sinatra, sits down with Larry the Toad and says to him, you know, you're the only one that gets me.
Right.
No way. No freaking way. Number two. Number three, focus. Say you're faced with a droning company chairman, a blah blah client, or a guest who's ready to put you to sleep. Look beyond the voice and into what he's saying. What he's saying is interesting.
Don't we have an several examples of Larry's focus?
Oh, I think
Larry would it's just interesting that Larry says a guest who's putting you to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have the
you want the long one?
Yeah, just grab not the long one. God, we don't have time for that. But we did play a tape of Larry King falling asleep.
Larry fell asleep used to on his radio show fall asleep constantly. That's how good his focus was.
Then number 4 is avoid the yes and no. You'll never get conversations for yes and no answers. Do you enjoy flying? Instead, ask, what happened the last time you went flying?
Brilliant!
Why did you go flying?
How does he do it? It's amazing. He's a genius.
I can do why forever, Larry says.
Why?
Except Robert Mitchum. When I asked him why, he said, because. Here's another one. Don't fake it. Uh-huh. Frank Sinatra first showed up on Larry King's live radio show for no other reason than as a personal favor to Jackie Gleason. That was the scariest moment of my career, says Larry. But what I did was ask him the most honest question. Why are you here? I never fooled my audience saying, my friend Frank Sinatra, or acting pompous. Tonight my guest is Frank Sinatra. As if, of course, he's just another guest.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's not Larry King at all.
No, not at all.
I mean, even back in the day, his whole thing was, and tonight we will be joined by the chairman of the board, the greatest singer in the history.
Yeah, suck up.
let me see. Go with your gut. When Raquel Welch showed up on Larry King's set in a stint over fruit juice, Larry walked over and gave her a hug.
Is that a snit?
That's going with your gut.
Yeah. What happened with that when Raquel Welch showed up?
Raquel Welch showed up on the set for the Larry King show, and she was in a snit because somebody gave her the wrong fruit juice.
Oh.
Larry King said, what do I do? He went over and gave her a hug.
Because he's so sexy.
Oh, there you go.
He doesn't tell the truth, which is in Larry's mind, that he gave her a hug because I was looking at those great cans.
Here's another one he quotes, going with his gut. He's got Mike Tyson on his show. Mike Tyson's manager said that Mike Tyson was in a bad mood. Larry King, according to Larry King, and I can't even imagine him doing this, so I'll say it, you do it, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He did a deputy dog impression and said to Mike Tyson, aw, is Mikey angry today? What's bothering Mikey?
Larry did that?
Larry did that as deputy dog to Mike Tyson.
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to slap that smile right off your face.
And then he says, my first thought was, thank God he's laughing with Mike Tyson. The point, though, of Larry's point, it was all instinct.
Yeah.
In other circumstances, instinct can tell you whether to walk or shut up, whether to use an off-color word, whether to call Jimmy Carter Jimmy when you're fishing with him, or Mr. President, when you're both wearing suits.
I got it. He's brilliant.
What a dickweed.
He loves to talk about himself.
And finally, when all else fails, move on, which is not to say that Larry works out the kinks with everybody. Robert Mitchum, for instance, remains stony and monosyllabic during his...
So funny he goes back to Robert Mitchum all the time.
Hour-long interview, author Kitty Kelly got Larry King foaming on air over Sinatra's biography.
Mm.
Larry King does not dwell on regrets.
Right.
You've done your part. All you can do is what you can do. My advice? Be curious.
Ah! God.
Genius.
Larry, God. The genius.
Larry King!
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chance. We have a chance national anthem.
Okay.
You ready? Stand up, chance. Okay.
Here he is.
Come on, Don. Don't be scared.
Okay. I wrote this song myself. This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. How
We love the catchy man.
Anyway, we just love busting Larry King's balls.
See you at the high school graduation.
That's going to be held at a cemetery. Are you talking about his kid?
Yeah.
When his kid graduates high school?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're going to go out to visit Daddy's grave.
Which side of the dirt will he be on?
Larry's going to be curious what the inside of the box looks like.
Yeah.
And don't you pray when he finally gets up to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
First guy waiting for him is Sandy Koufax, who goes, hey, dude, we never knew each other. And then behind him is Frank. Sinatra said, hey, listen, they never said this crap about when I'm with you, there's no camera or microphone. Come here, douchebag.
They'll hurt him.
Guys like you, come out in my stool.
Thanks, Frank.
In a world where owning a radio is strictly forbidden,
good article.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Stay focused, it's me.
He made it up.
Can you rephrase that?
And we played those tapes going into the break.
Yeah, huh? You heard the ones where Larry was actually sound asleep.
He's falling asleep.
And there's a guy, a friend of his that I know over at Mutual that sent those tapes along to us. And it was not the only time that Larry would do it.
No.
You know, listeners talking on his show, it's late at night. And he's like, and his comeback would always be, can you rephrase that?
That's genius.
Yeah.
And what's great is all these years later, he's just like us.
Right.
He still holds a grudge. Listen to that tape of the call East Coast Bob in on Monday.
Yeah.
You got that one? Listen to this now.
A little bitter.
He doesn't just blow it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could just say, I don't know what you're talking about, and move on.
Right.
No, he's got to mention us by name.
Esparto, California. Hello.
It's great.
Larry King, my question is for Joe Ellen. Joe Ellen, from where you're sitting now, does it look like Larry paints his bald spot the Don and Mike show?
The Don and Mike show.
What?
A very intelligent question, sir. I know Don and Mike, and of course, one of them fell out of the crib as a child, as I remember when they were in Washington. I think the other one pushed him. I think they know each other since childhood, but I have no idea what he's talking about. But a very good question.
Nice that he gives us the credit of knowing each other since
yeah.
childhood.
Yeah, in the crib.
In the crib.
For someone who, in the article, one of his main points is let go and move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice bringing up Robert Mitchum.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
because he obviously was his first interview.
Every day.
You know, I mean, we don't encourage because the people just do this on their own. But I would imagine the paint your bald spot calls that he's gotten over the years annoy him. But how about that Robert Mitchum interview?
That might be the question to ask him.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Larry, I can't help but remember, I love all your interviews, but dude, you couldn't get Robert Mitchum to open up.
What's the problem? Can't you interview? I heard your Robert Mitchum interview.
Robert Mitchum was dropped on his head when he was a baby. Buzz,
yeah.
Here we go. Oh, it's time for the news show.
That's right.
And what is your lead story today on the news and the comments?
The shocking truth about Beethoven. No, I'm kidding.
On you.
Rush Limbaugh gets an unlikely ally.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I know who this is. Right. Yeah, what the hell's going on there?
Stay tuned for news and comments on the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Funny.
Yeah. They will do you well, Don and Mike.
Listen, we're playing this because we've learned our lesson here in D.C.
Oh, yes.
And I think all the broadcasters here, all the different stations with all the different formats.
Right.
The ratings came out today, and the classical station went from nowhere to number three.
Number three. So we now have learned, and we're playing all the classical music we can.
They're kicking our ass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mentioned we had good ratings in Sacramento, and also Baltimore just finally came out.
Wonderful.
Let me see. The station's first book as an FM talker.
Yay!
So the station starting at a 2.1.
Okay.
That's all right. Our show, we're starting with a 2.9.
Mm-hmm.
That's among everybody. That's, what is that in Baltimore? That's, oh, just like here, 10th place.
Very good.
10th place. Men 25-54, a 6.9. That's good for third place.
Very good.
That's good. And that's up from a 2.5.
Excellent.
That's from number 14 to number 3. And men and women 25-54 in Baltimore. See, the girls did their job in Baltimore.
Well, that's good. Thank you, Baltimore ladies.
a 4.0 from a 2.7.
Excellent.
That's eighth place. So we got some, you know, and even the ratings from WJFK here in D.C., in our core, they were good, like with the men. Anything that has male or men in front of it,
right,
we're number one in. But as soon as we brought the crazy broads in, they went for the classical music.
Yeah, they were listening to classical music, and so we're trying to woo them back by playing this soft music. But
it's going
to
work.
Let me tell you something. After today,
that'll be it. You know, the thing is, think about this for a second. Let me just let this roll for a second. Listen, there's a lot of things in radio I don't get. But I think I know a lot about radio.
You do.
At the same time, I want to say that. This blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you could not go out on a street right now in Washington, D.C. and find waiting at a metro stop, at a bus stop, at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't find 10 people who could tell you what the frequency of this radio station is.
We were a little shocked.
This classical station. Which is why it's all really so goddamn funny.
It's a fluke.
That's right. It's so funny.
Just like the fish, it's a fluke.
Jesus. And we're not the only ones.
No. But we might be shocked, but we're following that trend.
Yeah, now listen. Unlike the other stations who get this, the same information as us, and they do nothing about it. They'll just go, wow, look at that. The classical station came out of nowhere to be number three in the ratings.
That's right. Tomorrow we are changing the name of this show. It's going to be the Ludwig and Johann Show.
Anyway, how funny is this?
Very.
Washington, D.C., a sophisticated city, our nation's capital. Great city. Great people.
That's right.
This is it?
Number three.
You mean to tell me right now, out of everybody driving in their cars, this is what people are listening to?
Mm-hmm.
We're number 10, and this is number three? In the morning, Howard is number 9.
Numbers don't lie.
And this is number 3?
Yeah.
Listen to it.
I don't get it.
And it is funny.
Yeah. You know, that's the first time I think that something's been in the top 5 where I didn't know what the frequency was.
Yeah.
And not just
the... And you know what? I know classical music. I really do. And I occasionally will turn it on. I didn't know where it was.
Stop it, Mike.
I'm sorry.
You might be one of the people that's caused it.
But I didn't know where the frequency was.
Kenneth? Buzz.
Yes. Hi, Don and Mike.
Buzz's new show brought to you by Viramax Sexual Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancement.
Can you call for a doctor?
Doctor developed, clinically tested, Viramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Viramax, 1-888, try VMAX. Now, here is... The man.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Buzz Girdley.
Rush Limbaugh and the ACLU don't agree on a lot, but they do agree about his medical records. The American Civil Liberties Union, like Rush, wants to keep his records private.
Especially that study about my suppositories.
Sue, my friend Sue Pository.
See if you can get an entire head of cabbage up there.
Wow. Need my baby blues.
Prosecutors want the record to show that Rush broke the law by going doctor shopping, visiting different doctors to get multiple prescriptions for the pills to which he's addicted.
Let me see if I can find what his ratings were. You know, if he got beat by the classical stuff.
That would be interesting.
You got to give me a second here, Buzz.
Well, let me just say, while you're digging, the Rush and now the ACLU say that's a violation of his privacy and a bad precedent.
Violation.
Bad precedent for all of us. Quoting one of the liberal lawyers, it may seem odd, but we've always said the ACLU's real client is the Bill of Rights.
Cabbage.
Prosecutors say Limbaugh's got 2,000 pills from 4 doctors over 6 months.
Pills? Just thousands of them?
And that's just one pharmacy.
Baby blues?
They've not yet charged him with any crime.
Will I be able to do the broadcast from the prison?
I don't know. Depends on how he did up against the classical station.
I got it, but... There's like gunk all... It's in the garbage. I feel like Jim Elliot looking for a piece of pizza here. Going through the garbage. I don't know. Everybody got beat by
that. He got beat. That's right.
I'm sure he did. Even with that stuff with him getting, you know, busted and mm-hmm. people, you know, tuning in.
Right.
God damn classical music. Beethoven, you're ruining my life, dude. I'm serious.
There will be no media cameras allowed inside the courtroom where Michael Jackson will be arraigned Friday.
Hi.
On child molestation charges. The Los Angeles Times says a Santa Barbara County Superior Court judge issued the order to limit the publicity of the case and protect Jackson's right to a fair trial.
Buzz?
Yes, yes, Michael.
Squeeze it.
Now, do you think on the classical station, and now I've got to consider this a real threat.
Got to think about all this.
To our market dominance.
Right.
Do you think that they are smart enough that if Michael Jackson's in the news, they play like easy versions of like Beautiful Muzak versions of like Beaton and Billie Jean? Or to them, does classical really mean classical? Because as I pointed out the other day, I'm listening to the station.
Don't photograph my melting face.
I'm listening to the station that positions itself as smooth jazz.
Right.
Playing a record by the Eagles.
That's right. Yeah, you have to discern between classical music and the elevator stations.
Yeah.
It's a big difference between the two.
They could
That's
do
why that classical is winning.
They could do a classical arrangement of Michael Jackson hits and maybe sneak it in.
Ouch! Let me just say that. Ouch. Yeah. You know what that is?
Drool near it.
That is the sound of the inner child in me.
Yes.
Being stomped by the classical stuff.
First, wounded.
Hi.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Let it go, man. I'm trying.
Well, it turned out to be a fish story. Tim Burton's Big Fish was at first declared to be the winner of the box office derby this past weekend, but now the final figures are in. We see that the latest Lord of the Rings movie gets to keep its crown as the top film.
Hey, but you know what, Buzz? Still good for that movie, Big Fish. That,
yeah.
And I think it's not only a testament to that film, but a testament that there's just nothing out.
Albert Finney, right? Is Albert Finney in it?
Yes, he is.
It's a good movie.
I love Albert Finney.
Did see it over the weekend. But it was a close race. Rings made just over $14 million. Big Fish made just under $14
million. Rings? That's your shortcut name for
it. Yeah, for
it. Because that's the same as the name of a porno I saw.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Bless you. Whoa.
Thanks.
Rings.
Elvis hated the smell of Big Fish.
Yes. Oh, any fish.
That movie looks pretty interesting, though.
It is good. I highly recommend it.
I like the giant.
Is Abe Vigoda in Big Fish?
No, I don't believe so.
My wife, Bernice, and I.
You know, that's one that I tried to get my wife to go to, and I think she might go see that movie with me.
She would like it.
She's not crazy about Tim Burton.
Right. She'd like this. It's not as dark as his previous movies.
I did say Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Danny DeVito fan, and normally Frida's, you know, she goes like, I can take him or leave him.
Yeah.
I like him. I like his movie choices. I think he's a good movie maker. I think he's got a good... check out how many movies that you watch that you enjoy. At the end of the movie, it's like produced by Danny DeVito.
Oh, he is a mogul. And he's an unknown mogul. You know, he doesn't make a big deal about it.
That's
you don't
right.
hear about it a lot. Low key.
That's why I want to go see it, because I like him and I read good things about it. I thought it was good that movie was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Danny DeVito is really good in this awful movie called Other People's Money.
Oh, my God. And I finally got a chance. I have not. I got to go back and see the whole thing. I just saw the first part of it when he's walking into the office. And if it's as good as that opening scene where he is just a total hump.
It's an awful, awful movie. But he plays the New York guy that goes in. And
I've heard you talk about it. And that's why I stuck with it.
And you know who's in the movie?
Who?
Mr. Peck.
Oh, that's right, Mr. Peck.
Yeah, Gregory Peck is running.
Hi.
He's running a steel factory in Pittsburgh that what's his name? Danny
DeVito wants to take over.
Wants to take over and make it fiber optic, and it's just great. And Danny DeVito just plays such a prick.
No redeeming qualities whatsoever.
A guy who ruins other people's companies, and the whole thing is other people's money.
Right, right.
That he's, and the act,
the walking in when he comes into the office, I was laughing out loud.
There are scenes in that movie when he does something mean or something underhanded, where he actually does a little dance. That's just fantastic.
And that didn't do well in the theaters,
No, it did.
No.
Junk. Another good Danny DeVito movie is the movie Jack, about a bear.
I've never seen that one.
Danny DeVito's out in the woods with his kids.
Right.
I'm a Danny DeVito fan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's good in that, too. Oh, and don't forget, I know you saw the Pam Anderson Kid Rock tape.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to check out the Danny DeVito Rhea Perlman tape.
Yeah.
I've got it. I'm going to borrow it.
That's great. Yeah. Talk about a big fish.
Yeah. You mean there's like a real tape?
No.
No, we're kidding.
No, okay, I was scared.
There's not a tape of them having sex.
Exactly. You'll find something. When you really scare me, I don't take kidding well.
We can dream.
Mm-hmm.
Cheaper by the Dozen was third this week with a $12 million take. Something's Gotta Give was fourth. And Cold
Are you
Mountain.
Ready to really finally completely divorce yourself from
that
terrible Steve Martin? I mean, can he make any more crap?
Listen, the debate about he and Robin Williams, as far as I'm concerned, is over because...
Thank you.
Steve Martin, I still think, like when I see him on a chat show or I read something that he's written,
He's a funny dude.
Yeah.
But he's making these movies. He made the other bad one with Queen Latifah, the Disney movie. Where
horrible
he's like,
movie.
He's the white guy that became black. And
see,
then
I mean,
guy
people
was...
should have known this. And, you know, my family, my extended family, when I go home to New England, my sister and their family, they all love the Father of the Bride movies.
Of course.
And I hate those movies.
Listen, here's Steve Martin, the jerk. It is
there you go.
A freaking classic.
Mm-hmm.
25 years later, I guarantee you, you will laugh at the jerk.
Right.
You will laugh your ass off.
Yeah.
That's the best. When he was a wild and crazy guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the Saturday Night Live era, he was fine. Yep.
But yeah, I'm willing to give that up now, Mike, especially when I see the ads. That he's a football coach who has 12 kids.
Yeah, it's a remake.
And then he has to move his kids and the football team, because he has to babysit his kids. The football team has to crazily, kookily come to his house while his kids are there.
And the original, Cheaper by the Dozen, I really think it's a classic.
Yeah.
I mean, the old black and white movie, right? With that British kind of actor, that guy?
Yeah, whoever it was.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, really, I remember that as being a great movie.
Right?
I do agree with you, and I'm willing to publicly give that up. Steve Martin is a douche. I mean, he's not made... Even his movie where he had the big, long nose...
Roxanne.
Didn't make me... And the other one that was his vanity piece, L.A. Story.
Well, L.A. Story was a... You know what the last good movie I think he made was? I thought Parenthood was a pretty funny movie.
Hold on. I do have one. A recent one. Novocaine.
I never saw Novocaine.
Where he plays a dentist... No, and it's not like when he was in Little Shop of Horrors.
But I'll give you Little Shop of Horrors,
too.
He was hysterical in that.
He was great in that. Mm-hmm. Read the movie Novocaine. It's not bad. It's a taste of what Steve Martin could be.
And as a father of two very young ones, I have to say he's my favorite part of the Muppet movie, which I've seen 1,000 times.
The Muppet movie.
Okay. Funny in that.
Thanks for your help, Rob.
Hey.
Listen, I'm just
classical music?
I'm just here, you know. I'm conceding this whole thing now to myself. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Okay.
But are you going to, would you be at all ready to come out and just say it, make the statement of Robin?
No.
I mean, you're saying.
Robin
Williams funnier than Steve Martin.
No, Patch Adams, I wouldn't.
Patch Adams, good movie.
Mike O'Mara, freaking pussy retard.
He took that well. Robin Williams, better actor. Funnier, better actor.
Not today, Buzz. I don't want to get into your time, but if it's going to be the...
And you stand up the body of work. You hold up all the stuff they've done. And didn't you even say that his last stand-up special was good?
Mike, Popeye.
Yeah, Popeye sucked.
Popeye.
I give you that. But see, the movies that he's gotten, like, kudos for... I will tell you, you can make that argument, the pussy thing all day, because he does make some chick flicks.
Yeah.
Like Dead Poets Society, which he got a nomination for.
Right. Yeah, that's a... doing the J.O. motion with my
hand.
And here's another great one by your guy.
What?
Co-starring LL Cool J. Remember the movie Toys?
No, I don't.
Do you remember that?
That movie.
Where Robin Williams worked in the toy factory?
Moscow on the Hudson.
Oh,
not helping your case. Now listen, I'm not going to argue the movies, because you know what? They both make suck movies.
Yep.
Some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, I still think he's funnier.
I will tell you the most recent Robin Williams movie that made me laugh, that made me think he still might be great, was The Birdcage.
Yes. Yep.
And
but he played the straight guy in The Birdcage. And not the straight guy, but he was not the funny guy. He let Nathan Lane be funny.
He played the straighter of the homos.
Right.
That's the last true... Not great, but the movie that he really made me laugh in.
Great movie is The Birdcage is a great movie.
And with Steve Martin, it would probably be Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, he was great in that.
Probably, but check out that movie Novocaine.
I will.
And anytime you want to get that debate going earlier in the show, I'd be glad to take you on.
You mean the Steve Martin body of work versus the Robin Williams body of work?
Yeah, and if somebody does an IMDb search, I know that Robin Williams...
We will go down. We should go down movie for movie. And you know what? I am extraordinarily confident that I will emerge... victorious.
Well, I am extraordinarily confident
Subjective.
That I will. Because at least my guy's got some, like, pennies in the rain that are art movies.
Pennies from Heaven.
Art film?
Yes, it is for Steve Martin, yes. And Mike, hold on, I stand behind The Man with Two Brains. Steve Martin, funny.
Suck.
Funny. But Robin Williams... Mrs. Doubtfire?
All right, you got me there. You do. I mean, you can bring him up.
Of the two, who do you think has made more movies?
You know, that's going to be very close.
Robin Williams, I
probably
guess.
Robbie Williams.
Yeah. Robbie Williams.
R.W.
Yeah.
R.W.
How do you all weigh in on The World According to Garp?
I love The World According to Garp.
I thought he was good in that. See, I'll be honest.
Hey, thank you.
I thought he was good in that.
I thought you'd lay the pussy retard on me again on that one.
Well, no, you are, but he was. He was good.
Thank
you. You are for liking it.
Thank you.
What about Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid?
Steve Martin?
Yeah.
Like it.
And sucked.
I hate Steve Martin movies. I really do. I like The Jerk.
See, the thing is, I'll come halfway.
No, I told you, I like Parenthood. I love Parenthood.
I'll meet you halfway. Good Morning Vietnam, okay?
I really didn't. And Good Morning Vietnam is one I would have accepted your scorn.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah, but it made him a star.
So, yeah. That's a good one.
Sure did.
1 hour photo?
1 hour photo rocks.
That is a good, yes. That's a movie Steve Martin should make.
See,
Steve Martin.
You know what I'm saying about this whole discussion?
I'm winning.
No, hold on.
I'm winning. But even if you want a serious movie, what's the one with Al Pacino where he's in Alaska?
That's Insomnia. There are two movies, Insomnia, both where he played villains.
Yeah, and 1 hour photo's great.
One hour photo's scary. He's scary in that.
Insomnia's not that good.
Right, I agree with you there.
See what you started, Buzz?
I do.
Why? How'd you start that? Why'd you
see
do that?
See what you made me do?
Maybe next time I'll think for
it. It's nice to rekindle one of our oldest running debates.
Don and Mike, hello. I'm going to get killed by this call. I know it.
Uh-oh.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Go ahead. This guy's got an awful Steve Martin one. Go.
The movie's not that awful. Bowfinger.
Bowfinger with Eddie Murphy. Yes, it was, but hold on, Mike. Here's one for you.
Oh, good.
Brett, give us the Robin Williams movie.
It was good, and it was also directed and written by Danny DeVito, Death to Smoochie.
Yeah,
Death to Smoochie. I didn't see that, but I hear it's hysterical.
Yeah. It's very dark. I have to admit it's good, and it's got the actress in it who I would do, I mean, I'd do her with your D.
Right.
The lady that was in Being John Malkovich, that actress with the weird, is her name Christine somebody?
I'm not sure.
She worked in the office with John Cusack, and she's the one that opened up the little file door where you could climb in and be inside.
Kind of a dark, she was dark.
Dark hair and...
Like almost goth.
The whole deal was he wanted to bang her real bad. Mm-hmm. God, what's that girl's name?
I can't think of her now.
It's Kathleen.
Love the movie.
Kathleen somebody.
Turner?
I don't know. Not Hold on, Mike. I got a great Steve Martin one here.
Okay.
Hello, Les?
Hi. The classic you guys are missing, the classic Steve Martin is Dirty Rotten Scoundrel.
Admit it, Mike. Admit it.
100%.
Is that a great one?
That is my favorite Steve Martin movie.
When he takes a leap
at
the
table? But you know what? With the qualifier, I watched it very recently. Like within the month, I watched that entire movie.
Yeah.
And I have built it up to more. It takes too long to get going. But that scene where he's in the wheelchair, I stand by. That's one of the funniest things he's ever done.
Hold on. We got one right here. Don and Mike, lay it on us. Robin Williams, go.
Jumanji, the worst ever.
Jumanji
that
sucked.
That is awful.
Jumanji did
that
suck.
That is awful. Thank you.
Kids like it.
Welcome.
Thank you, everybody, for those calls.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do it tomorrow. Buzz, we got a break now. What's next?
Coming up, the latest on Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy. Love Ozzy.
Fantastic.
Ozzy Osbourne.
We agree on that one.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Don and Mike. Ah, crap.
And that guy was right about Jumanji.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't any Lonely Guy.
Lonely Guy is a great movie. Lonely Guy is a funny movie. Come on.
I didn't like
Come
Lonely
on, the
Guy.
Spotlight. You know why you don't like it?
Because
we played those tapes when you got separated.
No. Don't bring my separation into this argument.
I'm being honest.
You're cheating.
I'm not. There's no
that's
cheating.
That's below the belt.
Ouch.
There are a lot of movies that you love that Steve Martin was in that I do not concur.
What about The Three Amigos?
Three Amigos is one of the greatest suck movies of all time.
Three Amigos
it
equals
could not have
funny.
Sucked.
Funny. So funny.
Three guys that think they're so funny and
you're
it sucks.
You're wrong. God, that's a great movie.
And put all those guys in a boat, send them out to sea.
Great movie.
They all passed their prime, even at that when that movie was made.
I'm just trying to think of another bad one by your guy, by Robin Williams. Another just where he's
hard to find.
Just hairy. Oh well, no.
Hard to find when he's dodging in the Oscar nominations every year.
Hard to find when he doesn't do as many movies as Steve Martin. Hard to find when he doesn't get as much work as Steve Martin. Even now with
oh my God, even, I can't believe
even,
that.
Even now with Steve Martin,
Let's find out. I guarantee.
I agree
that he gets more offers than Steve Martin and gets more bling when he does a movie than Steve Martin.
Absolutely.
In a minute.
Listen, even having said...
Robin Williams equals bling.
Even having said Cheaper by the Dozen sucks.
Right.
And that movie with Queen Latifah sucks. Who is hotter right now in Hollywood? Who's more bangable right now?
Bangable or bankable?
Bankable.
Robin Williams.
Steve Martin.
Bicentennial Man?
Which is that?
Oh, that's a great one. He sucks in that. That's where he's the robot.
Jacob the Liar?
Oh, that's his Holocaust movie.
Get out of here, Charlie. Charlie, I'd appreciate Sue on the other side, please.
I'm praying him out. That's just right. How this comes so far.
Well, hey, hold on. I'm looking at my guy here. Mike, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta give you, a nod on that one. Joe.
Hi, Joe.
What about Pennies from Heaven?
Yes.
There you go. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
You know, Robin Williams appeared unbilled in Shakes the Clown.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Is that a plus
That's
or a
Bob,
minus for
the
you?
Bobcat Goldfish. Yeah. Never saw it.
We've only got 10 minutes left for Buzz here, so we got a break. What's your
other? Blubber.
This contest is over.
No, it is not. It is not by
a
long shot.
You lose on flubber.
Not on flubber.
You lose on flubber.
No
always.
Way. No, not a chance.
No, you're out on flubber.
Not a chance.
I don't remember what's next, Buzz.
Good Will Hunting? He was in that.
Thank you.
Faggot.
That answers
Faggot.
The question about that.
We'll be right
Academy
back.
Academy Award winner.
We'll be right back with Hetero and Faggot.
Well, stop it.
Good Will Hunting.
That's right. Stop talking about yourself. Don't call yourself a faggot.
Don and Mike Show. Chad.
Chad, yeah, the girl you're thinking of is Catherine Keener.
Yes. And she's not perfect, but God damn is she sexy.
Mm.
She truly is.
Right?
Who do you like better, sir? Robin Williams or Steve Martin?
Got to go with Robin Williams.
Yeah, see?
Right, see a faggot.
See a good hetero? Now he's a faggot.
He gives you the woman's name. Hey,
we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Just a moment here. I just want to say, I'm not doing this commercial. God damn, I love it, and I'd love to play it on the network. How about you, Rob, and Alex and Virginia?
You know, according to a national survey, 50% of you out there don't like what you're doing for a job.
I do.
2002, right? You said you were going to do something new.
That's
right. Happened again in 2003. Now it's 2004. Time to get focused. Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
It's
right here in Arlington, Virginia. Conducting a search now for the next generation of radio, TV, DJs,
I'm
and
here.
Sportscasters, entertainment reporters, actors, behind the scenes, production people, a lot more. See if you've got what it takes. Check out the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Arlington, Virginia. The website is 800tvradio.com.
I live there.
Or you can call Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Favorite place.
2170 Crystal Plaza, Arlington, Virginia.
Arlington, Virginia.
At 1-800-TV-RADIO. The nation's oldest and largest group of communication schools is Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Didn't Mike
40
there?
Years now.
Yeah,
we've
really?
Placed thousands of men and women all over the country.
I love.
Learn by doing. Class begin in February. 1-800-TV-RADIO.
Alex in Virginia. Lick it.
Doing business is pleasure with Pal at Thero Scotch.
God.
Driving automotive treasure, park it in your own garage.
Another great one.
For trucks and vans and new sedans, there's no complaints a lot.
Hiya, boy.
Come by, don't be a stranger, you're a Pal at Thero.
Where's my pal Larry?
My pal Larry at Fair Oaks Dodge wants you to know that with every new and used car they sell, you get free oil and filter changes for life.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Two willful boys, Don and Mike.
Ah, yes.
Hey, do you think we've run that Joe movie thing into the ground yet? Hi, Buzz. Sorry, I didn't have your mic on.
No, I don't think you have.
What, the
Joe movie thing?
Remember that, the sex for our retards?
No, I'd like to see more of it.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the, what's the one Rob wanted? Rob wanted the one, being a girl?
No, it's wonderful being a girl.
And of course, my favorite, LSD, Insider Insanity.
All right, I'm going to put it on the list for tomorrow.
Please do. I think there's more. You know, it's just not the Trainables that is good on that. Well, I think there'll be a lot of
school
stuff.
Films about sex ed and drugs. Great.
All right, well, hold on. I've got on the list for tomorrow, Joe's sex, Joe's movies.
Right.
And also, I guess, they're going to do the research in the back room.
Sure.
And we'll actually have the Robin Williams versus Steve Martin take our feelings out of it.
So I think we should probably go movie for movie and see where he scores. And you know what? I really... And we won't be...
See, we won't be able to be objective at all. There are movies that you like that I hate and vice versa.
We'll decide.
I don't know. I think we should just go down the line and have the discussions.
And it should ultimately be judged by Ricky the Trainable.
That's right.
So anyway, tomorrow, Joe, movies.
Yes, please.
You know what, Robbie, why don't we, right here. That's a good spot for
yeah,
him.
We can, yeah, that is if we need it.
Okay. What do you mean?
I mean, if he's good.
If he's good. If who's good? Oh, no, not him. No, I mean, we'll put Joe there.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're getting a little window into my life right now. This is kind of what I go. If you're out in the audience right now and you're like, what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. I'm going through the same thing and I do each and every day. They're talking about something on the show which won't be revealed to me until it actually happens tomorrow.
That's why you're the best audience in the world.
And that's why everybody should tune in, because I know it'll be good, because they appeared visibly excited.
Yeah, I'm hard.
Halfway.
You're halfway hard?
Yes.
I sure didn't need that visual right there.
Only takes one.
Both of you walking down a beach in Speedos. One at full attention, the other at half in France. Don't think there isn't a guy with a shaved head in here that brags about what happened in France whenever you leave the room.
We were on the... Bob, do you remember the member of the venue?
Lucky Beach.
Lucky Beach.
Lucky Beach.
Lucky Beach.
Didn't you both get lucky at Lucky Beach?
I believe we left that memory in France.
Anyway, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll watch more of Joe's movies.
Good.
And we'll have this Robin Williams, Steve Martin thing.
I think we can finally put it to rest tomorrow, Seven. Right?
No.
Once and
no,
for all.
They'll make other movies. And besides, it's too fun to argue about. If I really came clean with you, the truth is, I really don't care. I mean, he sucks. My God.
And I think the truth is that over the years, we've both softened, so to speak, on our positions.
Unlike you, Rob. Hey, how you doing? Are you still half? Or...
Oh, God.
Ew! How you doing?
Drool on it.
Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Addled rocker Ozzy Osbourne may be older and injured, but he's more heavy metal than ever.
What do you call him, Buzz?
Addled rocker Ozzy Osbourne.
What was that word again?
Addled rocker Ozzy Osbourne.
There you go. See, there's right there. You know what that is? That's a 5-cent word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but classical music listeners love that word.
All right, Buzz.
That's right. He's more heavy metal than ever, Ozzy is. Wife Sharon, who's returned to their syndicated talk show after taking time off to care for Ozzy, says he now has a metal rod where his collarbone used to be.
Nice.
He shattered that collarbone and a neck vertebra and 8 ribs in an all-terrain vehicle accident.
What a shame, because he used to have such great flexibility.
Yeah.
I've been told I have a metal rod.
Oh, God.
But that's only on certain nights with certain... How you doing, Robert?
Oh, stop it!
That's supposed to stay in France. Diana
Ross. Hey, I'm no faggot. I'm just pretending to be one right now.
For the good of the show.
Uh-huh. Diana Ross has apparently decided she doesn't want to face a public court trial for drunken driving. So now we hear she's working on a plea bargain. Her lawyers have told the judge they want to change her original plea of not guilty. No word yet on what she'll have to do to make all this go away. Quoting her lawyer, we're still hashing that out. The former.
How about she makes a plea never to perform it at halftime again of a Super Bowl, of a Final Four? Of...
I read, did you read the police report? The problem was when they asked her, she didn't know where she was going to.
I'm sorry. The former Supremes frontwoman was to have gone on trial this week. Police say they found...
You owe her mother an apology.
What should I say?
You'd say, Betsy?
Betsy Ross.
We're very sorry.
Wow. Police say they found the boozy-smelling singer in front of a closed video store asking for directions. They say she failed several field sobriety tests.
Remember we had her handwriting? Remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
That was great.
Do you know if she wasn't black, she could walk into any of these and pass as Imus?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really?
Absolutely.
I think Diana Ross, beyond
very
gaunt, all...
Very
yeah, yeah, she's got that look. Or Mac Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those. Either Mac Davis, Don Imus.
She's black, and she's craggy.
Yes.
She's craggy like Imus and the aforementioned Mac Davis. And really little Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Joe Namath is craggy also.
Joe Namath is just working into.
Yeah,
yeah,
craggy.
I think you give him 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he keeps drinking, those lines won't show up for a while.
He just wants to kiss you.
Hey, you know, I don't like to alarm anyone.
Oh, you do, Buzz. Right. You say that because you do like doing that, because you're a rabble-rouser.
A man has been killed by his car radio. 38-year-old Rodney Michael Cates of Timberlake, North Carolina, was driving alone Sunday night in his 1989 Mazda pickup truck when he went off the road. He'd been drinking. The angle of the culvert sent his truck into the air, and although it landed upright in someone's yard, the truck's radio popped out of the dash and hit him in the head.
Yeah, I don't remember.
We're now advising our listeners to wear helmets.
Very good.
In sports, people who love the Boston Red Sox also love music.
Mike?
Take Mike O'Mara, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Or the team's general manager, Theo Epstein, who plays in a rock band called Trouser.
Yeah, he plays guitar.
Quoting Epstein, it makes you feel like you're living the rock and roll lifestyle.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I know. God damn it. God damn it.
That's good, Theo.
That's all I have to say is God damn it.
Sure. That's good,
I read
Theo.
That in the Boston Globe like 3 days ago.
How you doing, Theo?
God damn it.
Something Theo.
Finally, scientists at the University of Wisconsin at Madison have figured out a better way to cut the cheese. They're using a laser.
Come on, you're killing me. I don't forget this all-time great tape.
Cutting the cheese is party. They're using a laser.
And Sonny Jurgensen explained to Sam Huff what the term cutting the cheese means.
Sam didn't understand the slang.
Well, it has... Cutting the cheese is party! Different meanings in different places. Cheese is a big industry in Wisconsin, as you know.
Yeah, hey, there.
They use large cheese-cutting machines. But the blades get contaminated with bacteria, and it's hard to make thin slices because cheese is sticky.
Goddamn right, bud.
Go, Pack, go!
Next year.
So they try to...
I forgot they lost. They're not playing this week.
Right, no. What a shame.
So they try to heat laser to cut the cheese, but the cheese melted, and quoting one Madtown scientist, it smelled really bad when they cut the cheese that way. Cutting the cheese is party! But now they're using a new kind of laser that doesn't use heat. Now they can cut the cheese without the odor.
Oh, that's
incredible!
Nice.
Yes, it is. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
That's it?
No.
We gotta go.
No.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. We will see you then.
Very good.
Beethoven rules!
Rock and roll, baby.
Jesus Christ,
yeah.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
Good day to you. How you doing, Semi?
Now I know why it is called Lucky Beach.
There you go.
I'm totally.
Wow, 100%?
In Arlington, Virginia, Rob.
Look at that.
In Arlington, Virginia, right here.
Arlington. Can I say it again?
Yeah, okay.
BM.
Edith.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.